Tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we have our first guest during the quarantine, Mr. Thunderheart J. George joins us. We are live on the hot mic. If you're listening to us live on Rantium Radio, we appreciate that. We're going to talk what we've been up to during the quarantine. We're going to catch up with J. George. I'm sure we're going to have some Teddy Hart stories. I have my own Teddy Hart story that I could share with J. George. We're going to talk WWE, AEW, all things happening in professional wrestling. And you know us, we can go off the rails at any minute. That's all coming up next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.ShiningWizards.com. Shop at Amazon at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is PWS Hall of Famer, the Thunderheart, J. George, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are joining us once again for another awesomely awesome quarantine edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
And it's your boy, J. George, here live on the Shining Wizards Podcast, PWS Hall of Famer, guys.
I'm sorry, I forgot that in your intro, J. George. I'm terribly sorry. I try and put PWS out of my mind.
It's your boy. I never wrestled there, man. It's all good. They considered me a Hall of Famer because of the potential I would have had at PWS.
Right, but it would have been safe to say that you were an RCA Hall of Famer?
Yes, that's right. That's correct, man. RCA, they ruined my life. Last time I was on the show with you guys, I just signed with them, and we were going through their amazing roster of talent, and things didn't pan out. And I spent a lot of money that I did not have, and it kind of set me back a little bit. But thankfully, due to all the COVID insurance and everything, I'm back on my feet. I'm making more money than ever, and more money than I ever deserved. It's like I got a raise for doing nothing, and I'm so grateful for that. But RCA is no more. So right around the time Tim Thatcher got signed, a lot of Tim Thatcher Twitter accounts popped up, right? And I looked at one because it was following me, and I looked at the messages, and it was RCA. They turned themselves into a fake Tim Thatcher account. So that's what RCA's been up to.
Those sons of bitches.
That's a bummer.
How are you guys holding up? How's everything going?
I am your reigning and defending WCW Tag Team Champion.
There you go. Did you win the tag titles over the quarantine?
Yes, I defeated the luminaries of Chaos and Tank Abbott. They were a thrown together team because they needed to take the belts off of the outsiders because Kevin Nash was on his way to go wrestle Bill Goldberg.
Wait. What, wasn't it Chaos and Rick Steiner?
Kevin, it's my story. I'm trying to tell the story.
Kenny Chaos and Rick Steiner were a tag team?
Yeah.
Champion.
Like Rick Steiner chose like any partner. He chose Kenny Chaos, I guess, when Rage was on the shelf. Yeah, that's a true story.
I wish I'd got the memo.
But Tony,
that's
your true story, so go ahead.
What'd you say, Matt?
I wish I got the memo that we're going to have fucking props and belts and all sorts of shit. I wouldn't have spent the last 45 minutes playing the show. I would have fucking got extreme up in this piece.
I had props last week. I thought we started a trend. And you also did not get the Zubaz memo. Oh, styling and profiling tonight.
Yeah, Zubaz is
J. George rocking the pink and black, too. Or the pink and white Zubaz.
No, these are orange. There must be some sort of funky color correction going on here.
Ah, no worries. They still look good, though.
There we go. Good crowd. Good crowd tonight, guys. This is a great crowd so far. Great crowd. Good crowd.
Great crowd, like on the hot mic or just in general?
On the hot mic in general, for all the people that are still supporting the show, thank you so much, guys. You keep us going.
Well, it's Monday night. Fucking getting prepared to watch that dumpster fire that is Monday Night Raw, so maybe they're not tuning into us.
No, well, they still got an hour, so I can this is like the pregame. This is like the first hour of Nitro. What is that noise?
That's a great question. I'm going to mute my mic right now. Those are my neighbors that are all...
I mean, so during the quarantine, guys,
go visit them. Wait, Kevin, go over there and go say hi, please. Introduce yourself. He can't even hear us. Go ahead. Go over there. Go.
Were those the dogs or the kids?
No.
Kevin's like technologically retarded. What are you trying to do, buddy? No shit. Yeah? All right, cool. J. George, what have you been doing during the quarantine? You been watching a lot of wrestling? What have you been up to there?
Oh, so much wrestling. Trying to just keep up on my stuff. And I actually got married right before the quarantine. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. You know, right up until I met my wife, I always felt like I was incomplete, and now I feel like I'm completely finished.
Is this like a shoot thing, or is this like a real thing, or is this like a Teddy Hart thing?
I mean, no. It's kind of cool. Like, the sex is something else. Like, she likes to scream during sex, especially when I walk in on her.
All right, I guess that's good. If you guys have an open relationship, that's a plus.
I don't know if I would say that, but the other day I was coming home from work and I saw a guy jogging down the street naked. I said, buddy, why are you doing that? And he goes, it's because you came home early.
Sounds like it's very open, like her legs. Jesus.
It's cool, though. I will say this about being married. There's a lot of like cool stuff that helps in terms of we had a goal, the both of us, to quit smoking cigarettes. And we made a deal that we were only going to have cigarettes after sex. And I haven't had a cigarette in months. She's up to 3 packs a day.
Are you going into the comedy stylings? Is this a com? Are you doing a bit? Are you going into stand up? Are you stealing Kevin's gimmick?
I was doing stand-up comedy before I was a wrestler. I thought I told you guys. I thought you guys knew that.
I don't remember. I don't remember that conversation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I will say, like, before me and my wife met, I just ruined the joke. Never mind. Oh, man. I was watching, how do you guys feel about the empty arena stuff? What's your guys' take on that?
I don't know.
These t-shirts are too tight.
I am not the. You said empty arena stuff, right?
Yeah.
Empty arena stuff. I think I've kind of adjusted to it. I prefer the stylings of AEW versus WWE, where they. Kevin, is that your foot in front of the foot? Is that your knuckle?
No, my knuckle.
Oh, that's your hand. I think I prefer the AEW crowd or stylings just because they have a couple people out there and it's enough noise where it kind of feeds into the program. I haven't watched anything related to the WWE in like, I don't know, what was the last pay-per-view? Elimination Chamber? So I can't really comment on that.
Wait, so... there's this match that was going around. Obviously, with the success of WrestleMania, everybody was going nuts for the Boneyard match. There had to be some imitators. And these two independent talents did a secret location match. Have you guys seen this thing?
No.
Oh, my God. I feel like we should do a watch-along of it. If this is right, this is Hot Mike is all about. I cannot stress this enough. You guys would go nuts for it. If you guys thought Jimmy Flame signing to RCA was fantastic, you guys are going to love this match.
Who are their participants?
I don't even think you would know them. One of them's called Nikolai White, and I forget the other guy's name. It was for the unsanctioned pro championship. This is a new promotion out of New Jersey, and the gimmick of the company is there's no weight divisions, there's no gender divisions, it's One Division. I'm sorry, that's the name of the company. One Division Pro Wrestling, and that's the gimmick. There's one division.
So they did a secret location
match?
Did
you say One Direction Pro Wrestling?
No, One Division Pro Wrestling. And they did they tried to do a cinematic match. And this is like the room of wrestling matches is the best way I could describe it.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. Like, if you guys wanted to do a watch line of that sometime, I'm more than down because you guys will love it.
How involved in that were you?
Sounds amazing.
What's that?
How involved
in that
were you, Jay?
Sounds absolutely amazing, right? We got to check this out.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
Why?
Why?
You don't enjoy the bad wrestling.
I feel like in my lifetime I've watched enough bad wrestling. I think I'm good. And in this day and age, you can say something about somebody, they all fucking butthurt about it, and I don't have time for that bullshit. If you put on if this podcast is dog shit and somebody told me it was dog shit, I'd be like, whatever, man, that's the way you feel. I don't care. But some, you know, most professional wrestlers are very thin-skinned and they can't take the criticism.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's fair enough. But, you know, to each their own. This is what you sign up for. No, I saw these people trying to call Vader a bully because he's beating up some guy and he's working with the guy and he's doing Vader shit. And then these people are all like, oh, he's a bully, and this is bad. I'm glad wrestling got away from that. I just, you know, I don't like that. I disagree with that. It's just my opinion. It just ruffled me a little bit.
How dare they speak ill of the dead?
Well, that too. The guy can't even defend himself. The nerve.
The nerve. What kind of wrestling you been watching during the quarantine besides bad stuff?
I've been going – I started getting back into Japanese wrestling. I've been watching Minoru Suzuki stuff, Yuji Nagata stuff. I don't know why. I randomly get in a spurt. You know, one day it could be Sid Vicious, the other day it could be Minoru Suzuki. You never know. I did watch. I think I'm going to go back to 97. I'm still trying to get through 98, 99 stuff, but I want to get. I watched the Final Four match from that pay per view, the In Your House pay per view. It was Bret Hart, Vader, Undertaker and Steve Austin. Pretty good match, solid match. Vader gets busted open like a stuffed pig. So yeah, you know, I've been enjoying some contemporary stuff. What about you guys? Anybody?
Matt making him really uncomfortable by not answering.
Oh no, I don't give it. Look, I do a fucking podcast Wednesday night with five people on the screen, so we got a whole system worked out. I don't know if Kevin's frozen in time over here. What's going on with him? It's pretty comical, though. Tony, what about you? What have you been watching?
I've been watching MLW each and every week. I love me the MLW.
Who are you liking on MLW?
Alexander Hammerstone, the Meat Castle. I'm enjoying Mance Warner. Brian Pillman braided his hair, though. I don't know if you noticed that. He doesn't really have the mullet anymore. He's got like a braid mullet. It's kind of different.
That's because Injustice cut his hair last week. Fucking dumb. One of the worst fucking promos I've ever seen in my life. Yesterday.
When they jumped him?
No, the one he cut this week on the show where he's like, you want to cut my hair? You want to steal my legacy? You want to mess with my mullet? And it's all fucking braided. He looks like fucking Bo Derek. Get out of here. Fucking Brian Pillman.
Let me give you some advice. I know you're a young lion in the business. You're hungry. You're getting your name out there. You know, you're conquering worlds. You're defeating legends, but let me give you some advice. Find whatever doctor or whatever fountain of youth that Brian Pillman Jr. partakes in, because if you could come back from a broken jaw in less than 2 weeks' time after having your face wired together, that's the kind of career you need, brother. That's the kind of thing you need to do. He was so injured, but he managed to cure himself so quickly that he had birthday cake for Alicia Atoot's birthday 2 weeks after he got curb stomped. and they broke the concrete on his face. That's a guy that's got gumption in this business.
There you go.
That's the guy you need to model your career after.
He comes from the Hart Dynasty. He's got a lot of heart.
Well, there you go. I mean, you've already got the name going, so you're heading in the right direction, sir.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter if you break your jaw, you could have. That's where it comes from. You have to have your cake and eat it too.
J. George, is Homeboy still in the clink?
Last I saw, he is not. He was released, and he's somewhere in Virginia. And That's as far as I know about him.
I had a wonderful encounter with him before the Ring of Honor Free Enterprise show. It was probably the most bizarre thing I've ever been a part of.
Now you have to walk me through that. What happened?
So we take the trip to Baltimore. Me and D-Generation Y, we go down there to check out the Ring of Honor Free Enterprise show. Obviously, this was before all this craziness started with Teddy. And he's got his...
This was, I think, right before he got arrested.
Yeah, like a week before. He's got the Maserati parked right in front of the place in, like, the fucking handicap, fire zone, whatever.
Describe what the Maserati looked like at this time.
Well, it's part of the story, J. George. He let me put a sticker on the Maserati, okay? He was just letting people bedazzle his Maserati. Like, I'm not... this is a Maserati. I believe
it. Yeah.
And you're just walking up to him, and you're just talking to him. He's like, hey, you want to put something on my car? Here, take it. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? He's got all the cats in the car. He's got the litter box in the car. Then he gave me one of the cats to hold. And then, like, he never asked for it back. And after, like, 10 minutes, I was really uncomfortable. And I was like, hey, you want your cat back, bro? He was like, oh, I work for the FBI. I was an informant. And, you know, just out of control shit. And I gave him $5 just to hope that he would leave me alone. Wait, interesting.
You gave him five, like, he asked you for money?
No. He was talking about, like, how he's, like, trying to do all this stuff for the cats.
The cat shelter, the no-kill cat shelter. Was that what he was talking about?
Yeah. So I gave him, $5 just to hope I could leave his presence because it was really, I got uncomfortable after a while. He had fucking glitter everywhere in his eyes and his hair.
Yeah, man.
It was. I mean,
that's Teddy, man. That's him to a T. So there, and then of course he's in Virginia and he's driving a blinged out Maserati, or not blinged out, bedazzled Maserati. So it's of course you get pulled over. And of course, like, I imagine being a cop and, like, pulling up to the car and seeing him. And then it's like, all right, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, that was just such a, Teddy, what are you doing? That was just such a, like, you walked right into that one situation, I feel.
Yeah, it was like, the stories don't do it. Like, you have to. Like,
but so you saw the car, you saw how he was. So, like, was it right? It's not a surprise to you, and you could see exactly how that goes down. Why this guy got pulled over and stuff, and got searched.
Oh, 100%, absolutely.
And even more important too is, like, Teddy's the guy. Like, this is the guy Teddy is. He's able to convince someone. Imagine he convinced someone to lend him a Maserati for an indefinite amount of time, like, and not even, like, no care in the world of how the car is. So of course Teddy doesn't have paperwork for the car because it's a friend of his that let him borrow it. So it's like, I was just like, all right, yeah, you're putting yourself you're just in the quicksand here on this one.
Yeah, it's wild. It's fucking crazy stories. Professional wrestling, it never ceases to amaze me.
Do you think that when he got pulled over, he was like, guys, it's all right, I work with the FBI, I help train police officers?
I haven't the slightest idea how that came up in conversation. And he talked
about it up.
He was like working undercover with the FBI, doing like marijuana runs. It was I could not get away from him fast enough.
And he's just telling this to you in a group of people?
It was just me and Kate the Great. That's it. Just two of us. The rest of my crew wouldn't even, I kept waving them over. They wanted no part of it.
That's amazing.
Oh, and then he gave me his phone number.
Oh, you just call me up anytime? Yeah, no, man. I know that image all too well.
You think he was hitting Maria with some haymakers?
Oh. I don't know. I I don't know what happened exactly in that thing, but I think that guy that put out that video, I think that was kind of fucked up with him, to be honest with you. And I thought it was a little bit exploitative, and all of a sudden he has a podcast right afterwards. But even more fucked up, what I think is, this was a lifeline for Maria that she potentially had and could use in that area. Because Ted's out. We don't know what's going to happen, right? And we don't know the situations behind it. But God forbid something happens again, she's not going to want to call this guy because Mr. fucking TMZ is going to come over here and he's going to want to put it up and get some fucking internet points. Yep. Not cool. I don't think that shit was cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, people have these hidden agendas where they want to play the knight on the white horse, and then they turn it around into something where they could gain their own fame, their 15 minutes of fame, and it comes at the cost of other people. I think it's just one of those he said, she says between Maria and Teddy. But whatever. It's neither here nor there. But it was a very interesting meeting with Teddy, nonetheless. It was...
The one thing that got... Did you guys hear him say, he was like... He's telling the guy, he goes, it's going to be me and Lanny Poffo against you and your partner. That's the match. You wanted it? That's the match.
I want
it. And then the fucking guy, because I watched this interview, the guy does, he goes, oh, yeah, I mean, if that match actually happened, I'll definitely do it. Like, what? Whatever, dude. That guy's no nonsense. I don't like it. You know, he is nonsense. He's all full of nonsense. It's not like my wife, who's, like, usually pretty straightforward. The other day, obviously, you know, it's hard to work out and stuff during this quarantine. And I was looking at, I told her, I was like, you know, honey, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I see an old, fat, broken down old man. Can you just give me a compliment to make me feel better? And she goes, well, you have perfect eyesight.
Well, I hope you spent all last night writing this material. I really do.
Occasionally she shows up, you know, yeah, she'll be dressed up. She'll have a nice little negligee, little lingerie. You know what I'm saying, boys? Nice little number. She showed up the other day at the door, right, wearing it. But unfortunately, she was coming home.
Yeah, but she was coming home to you, man.
No. That was the joke was she was coming home from
somebody else.
Yeah, you get it.
I think I follow your wife on the IG.
She loves to talk during sex, though. I will say that. Like, she loves talking during sex, so she usually calls me from a hotel room.
Was that a bang? You drinking a bang there?
Yes, sir. We got some DDP yoga to do still.
Nice.
I spent all day, more than I should have. I try to go to Target. There's a line around the corner. And then I go to another Target down the street in Paramus, and there was no line. You could just walk right in. But, it's weird what's, like, in stock and what's not in stock. Like, I went through the arts and crafts section. No, there's no acrylic paint anywhere. Not in Target, not in Walmart, nothing. That's just it's just weird, like, what is in stock and what isn't. I couldn't find vanilla extract, but I could find fucking Dale Earnhardt ice cream bars.
What did you need acrylic paint for?
Nice.
I have, like, I usually have, like, supplies and stuff. I'm always, like... I don't know if you could see, like, I'm always, like, making masks and making different stuff for gear, making different wrestling customs. So I always need some sort of paint and some sort of acrylic paint or spray paint or whatever. So I always check, you know, I always check to see, and there's, like, nothing. It was just, like, weird of all the things that isn't available. But what can you do? Have you guys been going shopping? Like, what have you guys been doing for food? I mean, this is crazy times.
I went to the ShopRite last week, and I went food shopping.
And it's a whole ordeal, right? You have to wear the mask and everything?
Yeah, but I'm still, by the grace of God, I'm still working, and I work in the food industry, so we have to wear the mask. So I put on the gloves and the mask, and I just, you know, I'm a guy. I go shopping. I know what I'm going there for. I'm not going up and down the aisles looking for bullshit, and I tell people to get the fuck out of my way. I'm not fucking around. I'll knock somebody out. I had some Indian lady. She tried to talk to me. She kept walking at me. I'm like, you need to back the fuck up or I'm going to hit you. My wife's like, you got to go in the car. I'm like, I'm going to knock someone out in about 2 minutes.
Jesus.
Look, don't fucking put on the mask and the gloves and then fucking walk at me. Like, I can hear my ears work. Like, the whole point of us dressing like this is to not spread whatever germs you have. Stay the fuck away from me. Stay 6 feet away from me, you fucking goblin. Fucking yeah, punch in your people, dumb face.
People walking out with all this shit on, and they're still not self-aware. Like, they're next to each other. Like, one lady's looking at the can. She's still blocking the aisle. The other lady walks right up next to her. I'm like, what the fuck are you people thinking?
Ah, it's this fucking Jew school down the street from me. Don't woe me. They bring all their fucking kids over here to the parking lot over here. All these families. I drive by in the morning. There's like six families. All the kids are playing together. What are you doing? You're all going to give each other a fucking coronavirus. Stay the fuck home, you filthy fucking animals. You fucking retards. Piss me off.
And how annoying is it at these stores when you have to line up before you go inside? You see people that bring like the whole family with them and everybody's going in, which just makes the wait fucking longer. Just go in one person at a time. You don't need to bring the whole fucking the wife, the kids, and the grandmother. It's too much.
That's it. It's not a social outing.
Yeah, and not the time for it.
Fucking people piss me off. We're never going to get back to normal because fucking American. No, you shut the fuck up. American people are fucking dummies.
They are, I see the stuff that goes on between people like protesting. There was people having a protest and they had a sign that said, like, even if you're sick, come to the protest. And I was like, oh, boy.
That's just fucking stupid. And look, I get it, man. There's people that probably haven't worked in like a month and a half, probably have no money coming in. People losing their businesses. Like, I get that shit. But in the same thing, if you're going to protest, like, put on a mask. Like, still make sure you're not contaminating anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, stay away from people. You don't have to be on top of each other.
That's the biggest thing that there's no excuse. Like, if you go outside at all, just put a freaking mask on. Rip up a t-shirt and put it on your face, for Christ's sake. Like, there's no excuse. Use for that, as far as I'm concerned. I've been back to work for about a week and a half now, only like 2 days a week, and I work for people that serve the public every single day. So there's not a day that I go into work that I'm not just like come on, like, just put a mask on. Like, what are you doing with yourself? Like, I got to go home to my dad. I live with my dad. Like, I got to go home to him and make sure that I'm covered all the time. And these people don't have the decency to do the same. Get out of here. No time for you.
I mean, that's the issue, is people forget that it's not about, like, we're all relatively young people, so we're not as in risk, but it's the people around us that are at risk, and that's the important thing, you know?
Absolutely. Look, I live with my mother-in-law. She's not an older lady, but she gets pneumonia. She has bronchitis. I don't give a shit if I get sick, but if I come home and I get her sick, then I got to fucking live with that, and then I got to figure out what fucking Momo from fucking DoorDash, who wears dresses like the fucking RoboCop, but doesn't understand he has to stay 6 feet away from me, got me fucking sick.
Oh, I took the food right off the lady yesterday. She came up to the door, and then she forgot shit. She had to come back again, so she had to deal with me twice.
They're the worst.
Dude, like, I go walking around my neighborhood. I don't wear a mask, but I carry it with me, because if there's a group of people coming up, I'll put the mask on. But if I'm taking a walk, and there's like fucking nobody walking around my neighborhood, dude.
Right, that's fine. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But look, for everybody that we have to worry about, you know, like, of course, you don't want the elderly to get sick. You don't want people that are fucked up to begin with to catch this, because it's nastier to them. But in the same token, like, there's so many people going, it's going to be a year. It's going to be 2 years. This is the new normal. It's like, fucking shut up, dude. It's going to fucking go away. Just get it out of your head.
Realistically, how long until you see yourself at an independent wrestling show?
Oh, hopefully for me, a long time.
Yeah, but Matt, you're not going to go to any shows anyway.
not a shitty independent wrestling show in New Jersey. No, why would I want to waste my time doing that?
Look, my target, my kid goes back to school in September. That's what I'm hoping for. I can't deal with this homeschooling shit anymore. It's fucking.
What's that like?
He sits at his computer. He's supposed
to. Sits dude, in his normally, computer.
Normally, you go to class from like 8 to 3. His classes are from 9 to noon. They're 20 minutes apiece. He's got 10 minutes in between each one. And all he's got to do is plug into his phone and just sit there with the fucking microphone muted. He's playing Minecraft. He's playing.
Wait.
That's awesome.
So he just sits there like all day, like 9:01. He's already fucking destroying shit in Minecraft, and that's like that.
Your kid has 10 minutes between each class.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
That's like another like That's another advisory period.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so
we never had 10 minutes between classes. We had 3 minutes to go to our locker, get our books, and get to the next class. Your kid's got a whole other break in between each class.
He's got 2 20-minute classes and a 20-minute break every hour for only 3 hours. He's only in school till noon, and then that's it. And
it gets better.
Now they have, I forget what they call it, like Friendship Friday or Freaky Friday or Fellowship Friday. They don't even have school on Friday anymore. They have school 4 days a week, three hours a day. It's insane.
I'll tell you this, though.
We had one of those today on my block. We had one of those. I live literally 2 blocks up from an elementary school that I actually went to. And they did the drive-by parade. It sounds way worse than it actually is. It's just teachers. It's just teachers going and waving to the students. What student wants that?
I hated my fucking teachers.
Yeah, I don't want to see my teacher drive by and wave to me.
And they know where I live? Fuck off.
Principal's on every day. I miss you guys. I went to the school today. The hallways are so lonely with no students here. It's fucking depressing, dude.
You guys never had like a cool like teacher that you actually liked?
Yeah, but fuck, dude. Like summertime came, I couldn't care less about my teachers. I just wanted to run around the neighborhood, you know?
This is a good point. I didn't have like a Mr. Feeney style teacher. Although I kind of did.
Mr. Feeney was a creep because he followed them everywhere.
I was just going to say, I had one teacher that he was like my fifth grade teacher, and then he was like my eighth grade social studies teacher, but he never followed me all the way to high school, sadly. That would have been cool.
Dude, Mr. Feeney followed those kids to college.
Yeah, that's what he became like faculty at the school?
Yeah, he became a professor, then he became like he was dating like the dean.
What?
Yeah.
Mr. Feeney.
So he ended up becoming like, a teacher there, and then I think he may become like the dean of the students, I'm not sure.
Look, let's
Did Mr. Belding follow the kids too?
No. Mr. Belding never went to. They had the ex-football player that was like their RA.
Yeah. I remember that.
And then they had
Benson was one of
them. He was like the cool authority figure. He's like, I have authority, but I'm one of you guys.
Wasn't that Bob Golic?
I can't remember the guy's name, but he played for like the Niners, and I think he played for the Raiders.
Bob Golic.
Bob Golic.
There you go.
Bob Garlic.
Was it Bob Golic?
I think so.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, so Benson was one of the professors on there too, by the way. And Kelly Kapowski was
sweet. Mike Golic.
No, his brother. Bob Golic.
Brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, can you confirm this?
I'm going to find it right now. Hold on.
You need a Bill Freelick?
No.
From after, Royal Rumble?
After retiring from football,
Golic pursued.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
We got to come up with a system. We got to stop talking all over each other.
I'll just keep pointing.
After retiring from football, Golic pursued an acting career. He was in Saved by the Bell the college years. He was in the made-for-TV movie Saved by the Bell Wedding in Las Vegas. And he was a member of the original Home and Family when it aired on the Family Channel. He is the older brother to Mike Golic and the uncle to Mike Golic Jr.
Well, there you go.
Bob Golic. And
hey,
back.
Here's a question. Speaking of football players, why was
York,
like
8.7.
Yeah, that's right. Why was everyone in WCW cool with Mongo doing a fucking tombstone piledriver?
Because Mongo's the fucking man, dude. He was a credit to the fucking four horseman name.
Is it just me or is he like breaking up?
No, he
so lame, but Undertaker did. But
this is great podcasting.
Yeah, no, it is. It's an uphill battle for us every week.
He's probably making a great point about Mongo, and I wish I could hear it, but. Unfortunately, man, you're breaking up a little bit, and we couldn't get all of that.
We got none of that, actually.
Yeah, this is true.
I also did get nothing. By the way,
can you hear me? Wait, Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
What I was saying is that I can't see Mongo like doing any other finisher but the tombstone. Like, what would Mongo's finisher be other than like a 3-point stand?
Exactly.
That was Jim Duggan's finish in WCW, but still, fuck it. He's a fucking football player. Let him have it.
No. See, Jim Duggan's finisher was rolling up with a roll of tape on his fist.
Right, but before that, which also, fuck, I hate that finisher. I love Jim Duggan, but God, I hated that. That's like, because it was just so old school, like, wrestling, like, at a time when, like, guys were, like, Raven and Perry Saturn already had taped fists, you know?
You know what Duggan's finisher was?
Yeah, but this was like packing masking tape that he just swung around, and most of it got on his wrist and didn't even end up on his fist.
His finisher was, yes, officer, there's weed in the ashtray.
Whoa! Holy! And then Iron Sheik is like, ah, oh, don't worry, Bubba. It's just
Bubba! Don't worry, Bubba! I've got the coke!
Dude, speaking of road trips, I was on a road trip with my wife, and we drove past and we saw a bunch of farm animals. We saw a cow, we saw a pig, we saw a horse, and I looked over at her, and this was a little meat, but I was like, does that remind you of any relatives? And she goes, yeah, my in-laws.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Oh, snap. I don't get respect. It's all right. It's fine.
All right.
I don't know. It's tough.
Kevin's writing these down.
My wife made me join a bridge club. You remember that? The wives used to have a bridge club?
Oh, yeah.
She makes me join a bridge club, and she tells me to jump off next Tuesday.
Jesus!
That's fine. It's you guys know it's married life.
Dummy. Yeah.
All right. So I got to take umbrage with some of these. Like, I'm a hack. Like, when I post my stupid jokes on Facebook, they're terrible. I know that. Did you ever actually tell these on stage?
What is I did I when I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, I did do.
Oh, okay, all right.
Oh,
I used to.
Carson,
I used to.
Carson loves these jokes.
Google me, Jay George on Johnny Carson. I used to go on there. I would do. He would give me 5 minutes on stage, then I'd go sit on the couch and do another killer 5 minutes, like nothing. And that wasn't a joke, but yeah, that's my reality.
It's incredible. I never got invited to the couch.
Guys, it's a shame this is going on, though, in all seriousness. I've been doing this now for, I know you said I'm a young lion in the game, but a lot of people don't know. I've been doing this for 50 years now, and I'm coming up on my 51st year, and I feel better than ever, and I'm ready to get out there.
Oh, what?
Oh,
Do you guys know, speaking of shitty indie wrestling, I got to team up with the Warlord. Did you guys see the footage of it or no?
No.
It was me, the Warlord, against Anthony Gangone and Steve Mack.
Fuck, I did see this!
On
yes,
paper, that sounds amazing. I'm not going to lie.
On paper, it does, sure. We were the new Powers of Pain. And then afterwards...
Was it because the match was painful?
No, it was fine. I mean, what do you think? What do you think Warlord did? Like, paint the picture in your head. It's a tag match. How do you think it was structured?
Okay,
if you had to guess.
So the Warlord stood in the apron and he went, ah! And then you tagged him in and he punch, power slam, finish, or double DQ.
Something like that, yeah. It was. I took the key. He came in, clothesline, wow. Clothesline. We did a. We lost. So I took the. I got fucked on the finish.
Ugh.
And then I blamed Warlord, and he gave me two choke slams.
Two? I didn't even know he had a choke slam in his repertoire.
I fucking didn't know either. I thought he did the full Nelson one, right?
Full Nelson bomb or whatever the fuck it's called.
All right, I have a dilemma though. So before the match, he asked me to strap his boots up for him. Yeah, he's a big man, and he, you know, it's hard for him to bend over.
And he's older, and still now, on steroids, probably.
And, I mean, yeah, he looked great. the thing was, so on one hand, they were the fucking boots he wore throughout his entire career, right? So these bad boys fucking had a little history, right? They had some Harley race bit on them or something.
Dude, oh, you...
I don't know. So my question is, should I have done that for him, or was that a slight at me? I feel like that was some, like, young boy shit. Like, I feel like it was a rib almost. It felt like an honor, but it was also kind of degrading. I don't know.
Is he so jacked that he can no longer reach his toes anymore?
I 100% would 100% believe that, because he was, you know, he was doing the walk. He was doing... Well, look, the guy got brought in originally for a singles match with Steve Mack, and I knew that was not going to happen because I've seen enough of these type of things where it's going to turn into a tag match, you know?
Is that a thing, like, in locker rooms? Is that a thing where a vet comes in and says, "Strap my boots"? I've never
seen that. The only I've seen Rosie have someone strap his boots up for him. But again, Rosie was like big man. He was older, so like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I've never really seen that before. So
how did he ask you to do it? Was he like, "Hey, brother, can you give me a hand," or was he like, "Hey, brother, strap on my fucking boots"? And then he kept, like, thrusting his crotch in your face while you're trying to...
It was more like the first... Is that the former? It was like the former.
Then I would say... I think that's you just helping out an older wrestler who maybe can't reach his... I don't think it's degrading or disrespectful at all. I think you're just being a good hand.
Cheers to that, then. It was an honor.
Yeah, I've never heard that a story like that ever, so I'm gonna go and chalk it up to saying that he actually needed help, and maybe you were there and he just asked you.
We were tag partners. We were the new Powers of Pain. I was ready to do it. I was ready to shave a mohawk into my hair.
Did you wear all the furry shit like the Barbarian?
They didn't do that in the Powers of Pain though, Matt.
Oh, that's right. This is true. He's got a point.
Did you guys use like Larry Legend to be your slick?
That would have been good. You know, I tend to get the weirdest people to, like, take a liking to me in wrestling. Either the weirdos or the heaters. You know, the guys like Val Venus, Disco Inferno, Teddy Hart. Another person that took a liking to me was Billy Jack Haynes. You guys remember Billy Jack Haynes?
Do I ever? He killed somebody.
I have his LJN in my basement right now.
He's like, "Oh, kid, you're good. Lock up with me for a second. I want to see something." So we lock up at the table as we're sitting watching the show, and I go, "Hey, did you kill that kid in the train tracks? Is that true?" He goes, "Yeah, I did do that."
Nice.
That story. You know that? Have you heard that story?
Yes, I have. He's out of his fucking mind, I think, too.
Yeah, he's cooked. But this is what I'm saying. These are the people that take a liking to me, not the well-adjusted ones.
No, that's good. First of all, with all due respect to anyone in the professional wrestling business, for you to do that as a living, you're definitely not well-adjusted. There's definitely a couple screws loose, which is fine by me. I love it. I think the more screwier, the better. I also think Billy Jack Haynes caught a bad beat because he was from, like, fucking Oregon.
Yeah.
And, like, after Piper left that, like, region, when there was territories, like, it was him and Billy Jack Haynes and, like, fuck, that was Don Owens' baby, and I don't know anybody else besides Daniel Bryan that's come out of the fucking... I mean, I think Darby Allin's from that area, maybe?
Brian Kendrick?
I love when the top three things a state has to claim its fame to, it's Roddy Piper, Billy Jack Haynes, and Oregon Trail.
Portlandia, right? That's a thing, I think. Portlandia.
No, Portland. Yeah, they had a great. Yeah, Don. They had a great territory.
Yeah, I did do jobs and back for Don Owen years ago. Obviously, wouldn't have been recently.
Wait. Wasn't Don Owen the guy that was getting so strapped for cash he was having matches at a pizzeria or some shit? Do I remember my history right about Oregon? I thought he was having matches in pizzerias before he finally went belly up, that they were trying to figure out how to keep the business going.
That's news to me. Oh, Matt Bourne is from out there too, right?
Yes, sir. Did he have an action figure as a lumberjack, as Big Josh, right? That was a thing?
Yes. WCW Galoob.
Yeah, that's right. It was a WCW.
I think it's a UK exclusive, though.
He's all right. I give him credit. What? incarnation of Nelson Frazier, Viscera, do you think had the most main event potential?
I thought King Mabel was a crazy good main eventer.
Okay, you like the King Mabel run? What about you?
I mean, that was the first time we saw him as a heel, so to me, that's the first time I saw him as a heel.
No, that's understandable, yeah.
I found it so very...
That SummerSlam 95 against Diesel, I was actually looking forward to that because dude was big, and then it kind of down from there. I think he had like a couple... Ready to have like some Yokozuna stuff, and then...
I was very surprised that as a tag team, Men on a Mission, they seemed like perfect for that era of WWF to be tag team champions. Two black dudes, Oscar rapping, like the kids. I was into it. Kids were into it. People were into it. Mabel was like a brick shithouse. And then he would like catch the pin in a bunch of matches. Like he'd Quebecers would do the old like, get on your hands and knees and I'm going to push you over him while you're not looking type deal. I mean, I thought King Mabel had legs too.
Men on a Mission were tag team champions.
Yeah, they have, or was it like a phantom run? Didn't they have like
it was a phantom run.
Okay.
They won it at a house show and lost it, I think.
They legit won the titles, but it was by accident. I think Mabel fell on top of one of the
titles,
and he couldn't kick out, so they wound up doing a quick swap back. I think it was with IRS and
Money Inc.
Yeah, it was with Money Inc.
Oh no shit.
Pretty sure it was Money Inc.
Yeah, I forget when they came out, but like Oscar was rapping. He's like, "We beat you for the titles, and now we want them back," or some shit like that. Yeah, they had mentioned it in a promo rap one time.
To me, the weirdest thing about Money Inc. was just like as Men on a Mission as a tag team, they were just too like they were too different to be like a tag team. Like you had Mabel who was huge, and Mo who's just like right, like he was so tiny compared to Mabel. Like, if there was just a little more similarity in size, and I think Mo actually benefited greatly as being Sir Mo in the heel turn. I think that was such a better role for him.
Yeah, it saved it.
The tag team was just, it was too different. There were too much disparity to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, if Mo was, like, a smaller, more athletic guy, it probably could have, you could have had a cooler dynamic. Or if he was just, like, a bigger guy, then it would have been two big guys. But he was, like, right in that middle. If you watch the 2000 Royal Rumble, Rikishi's cleaning house early on.
I was there.
Dude, Viscera comes out and the crowd, you could hear them go,
"Yep,
whoa."
Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's that big man thing. Because Rikishi was like throwing people out. I think it started with like Mosh or like D'Lo Brown or like Big Boss Man and Test. And then Viscera comes out. And Big Boss Man even says, or no, Viscera says, the boss man after he gets tossed, he's like, get him. But you're right, that whole Viscera. I love Viscera. I love every incarnation of Viscera. Big Daddy V.
That's the one I think had the main event run.
He had a little bit of it.
A little bit. I think they could have done some cool stuff with that as Big Daddy V. I like that character the best.
Well, you like his on again off again relationship with Lillian Garcia?
The world's largest love machine.
There you go.
Matches he couldn't take at the Viscera talk.
And no, but I think the Big Daddy V, like when you talk about reinventing somebody, like how do you reinvent somebody that already was Mabel, King Mabel, Viscera, world's largest love machine? Oh wait a second, we'll call him Big Daddy V, put him with Matt Stryker, and literally in the span of like a couple months, he was made eventing with Undertaker, teaming with Mark Henry and becoming a real threat again.
He got an Elimination Chamber run too for like in that match. He was in that match.
And then they had that. Matt hates when I bring up the real ECW. And
yeah.
That if he is an ECW legend. They had the Monsters Ball match. It was like him, Mark Henry, Great Khali,
and Kane. I think.
Yeah, Kane. Right.
Yeah.
Tony, former guest of the pod.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was
on one of my, like, in my first years of wrestling, I remember he did a show and it was like right before he had passed away, which was cool that I still got to like see him in person, you know?
Yeah. He's one of the guys that I wish I had the chance to work with at PWS or WrestlePro. I don't think he may have been booked, but it may have been a little bit before my time there. So, I wish I could have worked with him. He was Tony, I think you'll agree. He was one of the most super nice guests we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, yeah, and we talked to him about when he won the King of the Ring and somebody hit him with the soda, and he goes, "Were you the motherfucker that threw the soda at me?" he was pretty cool. He was a cool dude. It was nice to have the pleasure of speaking to him. But I do agree. Like, I think that the Big Daddy V could have had a little bit more behind it. And it was also during that time that everything was Vince Russo-esque, where everybody had a gimmick and everybody had a character. So, you know, that character fit right in, I think, a lot better than King Mabel did.
I think the look, but I don't know. Yeah, he was just, there's too much going on, I think, for him at the time.
Yeah, you're right about that. There was definitely, what year was that when that happened? 2009, 2008, 2007, something like that? You had, it's when they made ECW a third brand, but like a WWE brand. So like, God, there was, I think when Big Daddy V became a thing, I think that was closer to.
I thought he was talking about the Ministry Viscera when he was wearing the trench coat and the.
But the problem with that was there were already way too many guys on top for him.
That's what I meant. Yeah, there's too many guys.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he stood. I don't think he stood a chance then.
Yeah. No. Definitely not.
And just
way too much going on.
When the Ministry of Darkness was a thing, Viscera was, I believe, the fourth person, because it started with the Acolytes, then Midian, and then Viscera. And then when it kind of happened, that was the first time. First of all, that was the first time we've seen Mabel. I think
he did. He last left. No, he had randomly shown up. He was in the King of the Ring tournament. He lost to Ken Shamrock in 98. Like, they randomly brought him out. And then right around that time, he came back and, like, he wrestled Mankind on Sunday Night Heat before the I Quit match. And
all right.
And then right after that, he got abducted. And then then the next time we saw him, he had become Viscera.
Yeah, okay. He got abducted at the Rumble.
Yep.
Okay, I you know what? I was always wondering that, because I always kind of forgot that we had seen him a couple times before that. I thought he was my memory was jaded, so I thought he was like a surprise entry to the Rumble, like we haven't seen him in a while. Then all of a sudden, Ministry just came and took him out. But I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, he was doing stuff in Memphis around that time for Lawler, when like you had The Rock was like doing his first stuff, and Rikishi was like doing some weird like in between character of like Fatu and Rikishi. Like, I think he had the blonde hair, but he was like something smooth.
Let me ask you this though: in his previous appearances before the abduction, was he wearing like the black vest and the black gear, or was he still Mabel?
Yeah, he had like he was Mabel, but he had like the black like.
Okay.
Dress vest, but not like the whole trench coat deal. Like, he had like a
I don't remember him wearing that vest prior to the Rumble. So that's a good call by you.
And back to Kevin, what he said before, I was all in on King Mabel. I thought him winning the King of the Ring, giant heel. I mean, we saw Diesel and Sid, and that didn't really work out at that time. Diesel needed
Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Well, who else was in that King of the Ring? Who else was in that tournament?
It was
98?
No, the one where King Mabel won? He beat Razor, or no, he beat Savio Vega in the
finals.
I'll
tell you right now. I'll tell you every match.
Okay, well, just tell me who was in it.
Mabel beat Savio Vega in the final, and then Razor was supposed to be in it, and he got, like, taken out or something like that.
Yep.
Bob Holly and the Roadie. I think the Roadie beat Bob Holly. And then Savio Vega beat Roadie.
Was this the one where Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker were in?
No, it was Shawn Michaels and Kama, I believe.
No. Undertaker was in this thing too, wasn't it?
Went to a double countout.
But Undertaker was not in this tournament as well?
It was.
No, I think he was.
Yeah.
Savio Vega, IRS in the first round.
Okay.
All right. Savio Vega defeated Yokozuna by countout.
By countout.
But in a qualifier, right?
Matt, I think you're right.
Matches that night.
All right. And here's your King of the Ring quarterfinal. Savio beat Yoko by countout. The Roadie beat Bob Holly. Kama Shawn Michaels ended in a draw. Mabel beat The Undertaker.
Okay.
And then Savio beat The Roadie in the semifinals. Mabel beat Savio to win it. So when Mabel beat The Taker, he got a bye to the finals because Kama and Shawn Michaels ended in a time limit draw.
Okay. So you've got the fans salivating for Shawn Michaels at this time because he was fucking hotter than a fucking red poker up your ass during 95, 96.
Yeah.
You've got The Undertaker that everybody fucking loved. You got Savio Vega with his fucking, like, come from behind, replace his buddy in the tournament, who also had to win a qualifier. So he's on four matches, and you give it to the fucking big dude who not only crushed your dreams by beating The Undertaker, but got a bye and then fucking beat Savio Vega, who everybody was on
his job.
Because he fucking had to win.
Tony, you're missing the big picture.
This is why nobody gave a shit when fucking King Mabel was taking on fucking Diesel the next month at the pay-per-view. Because
you're wrong. Fucking,
everybody, I'm not wrong. Are you kidding me? You had Shawn Michaels fucking lose to fucking get a draw with Kama of all.
And then what happened at that SummerSlam? What happened at that SummerSlam in 1995? They had Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon in ladder match two. What would you want? What more could you ask for?
Shawn Michaels to be the King of the Ring because he's a sexy boy.
Hey, hold on.
Hold on. You're an idiot.
Listen.
Fuck you, an idiot. Are you serious, King Mabel, and you're calling me an idiot?
Hey, King Mabel had he had to beat Adam Bomb in the first round, okay?
Well,
who did Shawn Michaels beat? King Kong Bundy, a very old King Kong Bundy, all right? Kama.
Hey, King Kong Bundy, even at that age, was still a virile, strapping young man. I don't care what
he said. Kama. Nothing like King Kong Bundy from 1985.
Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, he had to best Duke the Dumpster Drozzy.
Well, come on, that's no easy task, bro. Have you seen Duke on Facebook lately? That guy's a fucking killer still.
Well, do you know who Bob Holly beat to get into the tournament?
Let me guess.
The Road wasn't. Oh no, it was The Road.
No, he had to beat fucking Leaf Cassidy.
No, close. See,
Marty Jannetty.
No,
Gary Horowitz.
No,
he beat
Mantar.
Oh,
what?
Mantar.
And you wonder why nobody respected King Mabel? Are you kidding me?
Well, here's weird.
Kidding me.
Here's a weird point. In the 1995 King of the Ring, the TV qualifying matches, Yokozuna beat Lex Luger by countout.
Well, because Lex Luger was a made man. That's
did,
what.
Did Crush have something to do with that?
I think Crush
had something to do with that match. Or someone did. Maybe Mr. Perfect? I think it was Crush.
And Razor Ramon had an easy. He had to beat a Blue Brother. Come on.
Oh, Eli or Jacob?
It was Jacob.
Eli or Jacob?
Which one? The Nazi or non-Nazi?
I thought they were both Nazis.
Going back to Tony.
What?
Tony.
What is your
problem with building up a massive heel for a babyface that is 7 foot tall and in his own right?
This is true.
I'm going to reference a luminary in the podcasting world by the name of Bruce Pritchard. And he talked about Diesel and his rise to prominence in the WWF. And he said something very interesting. He said, people cared about Diesel. People didn't give a shit about Kevin Nash. And this is what he meant by that. When they were trying to build up Diesel to be this monster and to get everybody to be a fan of his and to relate to him, they put this whole fucking expose together like Kevin Nash, the man behind the Diesel power, and he was a basketball player and he was a five-star athlete in college and this and that. He said, I don't give a fuck. I don't care about fucking Diesel being a fucking basketball player. You know why? Because I like Diesel. I could give a fuck what Kevin Nash did. And that killed Diesel for him. Same way now, you got the fucking King Mabel, who's supposed to be stepping up to be this big badass to beat up fucking five-star athlete Kevin Nash, who, by the way, only had to fucking wrestle two matches at King of the Ring. And by the way, Shawn Michaels was in that tournament. He fucking got counted out with Kama. And by the way, he fucking beat Savio Vega, who had to win four fucking matches to get there. That's why nobody gave a shit about Diesel and fucking King Mabel. That's why. That's why they fucking put Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon on. That's why.
I kind of agree about the because I didn't get that at first when Bruce Pritchard said that I don't give a fuck that he played basketball that. But when you think about it, it's true. It's like if they would have done that with The Undertaker, you'd be like, I don't give a fuck what Mark Calloway did. I'm a fan of The Undertaker. You know what I mean?
That's
exactly.
J. George, I'll let you continue. That's totally different than a Diesel, Kevin Nash persona. Like, did you? I remember it. Like, I watched it. I lived it. I couldn't care less about any interview that Vince McMahon did with Diesel as Kevin Nash. Living it. I didn't care. That meant nothing to me. That didn't hurt Diesel at all. That didn't
hurt Kevin Nash Diesel power. At all.
Let me ask you, Tony.
Yes.
We got HBK Diesel at WrestleMania 11 that year.
Yes.
And wasn't who kicked out of whose finisher and it kind of fucked the whole matchup?
Was it that Sean kicked out of Diesel's finisher?
I
remember there being a weird powerbomb in that match.
Yes, and yeah. Shawn Michaels kicked out, right?
I can see that.
Was
yeah.
that because Sid was that because Sid wasn't in place or something like that? Is that it?
No, that was Kama. That was fucking.
The Sid bit was that's you're thinking WrestleMania 8 or
yes,
something.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
No, I thought I was thinking of WrestleMania. I thought I was thinking of Shawn Michaels Diesel would sit as a bodyguard, but the next night,
yeah.
Shawn Michaels gave him the night off.
11, yes.
Yeah, but during that match, I think they had decided that Diesel was going to kick out of the super kick. One of them was going to kick out of the other one's finisher, and neither one of them wanted to do it because it would fucking kill the match. But Vince made him do it anyway, and it 100% killed the match. So you already saw Shawn Michaels Diesel, and that got zapped. You had to give us, you know, and Shawn went on to be a babyface the night after WrestleMania, where Sid fucking powerbombed the shit out of him. So Tony, you got
which made no sense, by the way, because Sid made a mistake, and Shawn Michaels is essentially the heel. But then Sid should have been the babyface out of that situation. But it ended up because Shawn Michaels was being the jerk. And then Diesel comes out and saves Shawn Michaels because Sid powerbombs him after poking him in the chest.
Right. So, yeah, Tony, who else? But who else? You got to make a new monster for the champion to slay at SummerSlam. Who was there?
The problem all along was Shawn Michaels was too much of a babyface at that point in time. Despite being a heel, despite having Sid with him, the crowd was fucking molten. Women's panties were on the floor.
Tony, you're missing. You're remembering this wrong. Shawn Michaels wasn't there yet.
He wrestled WrestleMania. What are you talking about?
As a heel. And then he went back and won the Intercontinental Champion. He wasn't a main event babyface yet. It took till WrestleMania 12 to get him there.
No. He was there already.
He wasn't, Tony.
You can interrupt me all you want, dude. The fact of the matter is everybody wanted Shawn Michaels to win that match, dude. People were crazy for Shawn Michaels to win that match.
Yeah.
Why do you think they took Anderson away from him and stuck her with Diesel? Because Diesel needed the fucking rub, dude. The writing was on the wall. Vince McMahon just couldn't fucking deal with it. He couldn't deal with it.
What happens? Good things come to those who wait. You make them want any more. What do we always say?
Bret Hart is in the chase. He got concussed because they made him wait.
I'm losing it, Tony. I'm losing it.
Hey, well,
look what you started.
He was still mid card.
How did you? We got here from. We got here from Big Daddy B. Which is fantastic.
Please, can we? J. George, help us out.
We got here from the world's largest love machine.
There's still nothing but love in the room. But Kevin's completely wrong on this one.
I mean,
you're wrong.
I will say this.
Don't you dare tell me I'm wrong. You're wrong.
I'm the tag team champions, brother. You're wrong, dude.
That's a good point.
It's funny because during that time, like when In Your House got introduced and everything, it was to provide a cheaper product. You know, like the pay-per-views were a lower cost, and I'm sure tickets for the shows were a lower cost. And it's kind of like how things are now, where like obviously gas is so cheap and everything, and everything's a little, some stuff obviously got price gouged. Some stuff is going the opposite way. And I was actually looking for a new car. I was looking for a used car since the RCA money fell through. And
that's right.
Yeah. So I was going shopping and I was looking for a used car and I found my wife's dress in the back seat. It's tough, dude. I don't get any respect, man. It's all good.
Wow. no respect.
I just know because, look, I'm not surprised. She, you know, she cheats on me all the time. Whenever I come home, the bird yells, quick, get out the window.
Hey, hey. Ho, ho. This penis party's got to go. Wow. We were having, like, an in-depth wrestling conversation based on the topic that you brought to hand.
Hell
Jay
yeah.
George.
Well, kind of.
And then you got to make it all about you with your hack comedy jokes here. Come on.
Okay, all right. Who wins?
Really?
There's only room for one hack.
Who would you have had won the 1999 King of the Ring? Because it wasn't Billy Gunn. I'm sorry. No offense to him. It just, that one was kind of a waste. So
was
who
Edge
went it?
At that point?
Who?
Edge.
He wasn't there for that. He was still doing real text. Like, when I think 2001 was the perfect time for him to win it.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see. Who else was around in 99?
Ken
Shamrock. He won the King of the Ring, didn't he?
Ken Shamrock was the final.
He was the year. No. You're thinking 98? Of the year before. Yeah.
I got it. It was X-Pac, right?
It was a lot of the DX guys. It was X-Pac, Road Dogg, China was in it.
It was a shit field.
Yeah, seriously.
What? Was the final Billy Gunn X-Pac?
It was.
In 99?
Yeah.
And then 98, it was Shamrock Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have, I don't know, didn't Crash, oh no, that was 2000 that Crash Holly had a good run in it that you, I thought he was going to win it. I like that they could have pulled that upset, but Kurt Angle was the way to go.
Oh, of course.
I'm trying to
think. What would have happened? Happened if Crash what if Crash Holly won the King of the Ring?
You could have had him. Who's champion? If it was like Triple H, they could have had a bang up match at SummerSlam, but they would have had a bang up match at a pay per view, and maybe Crash Holly got seen more seriously afterwards.
And Triple H they could have a couple good runs on TV.
100%. I mean, you guys all seen that dark match that was going around that it was Vic Grimes versus Crash Holly.
Have you seen?
Oh, we got a cameo. There we go.
Reed, I see you.
Oh, what about Kane? What about Kane?
What about Kane?
He was in the tournament. He lost to Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Bob Holly was in the tournament. The Godfather was in the tournament. It was a... Look, the Attitude Era is shit, people. I'm sorry. I'm going to go out there and say it. It wasn't good. Look at that King of the Ring.
All right, here's the lineup. Here's the lineup. Billy Gunn, Viscera, Ken Shamrock, Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett's not bad.
I would have gone with Jeff Jarrett.
The Giant, the Big Show, Paul White.
He was in the King of the Ring?
He was in this one, yeah. Of course. He beats Draws and he loses to Kane. I think I would have gone with Kane, but I don't know. China, Val Venus, Al Snow, Hardcore Holly, Big Boss Man, X-Pac.
Look, based off of what the WWF used the King of the Ring as, like a launching pad? Come on,
okay.
Brett,
all right.
Owen, yes, King Mabel did not work out so well.
Right, but everyone else usually got a
for the most part, everyone else got a good rub.
I would say, what if, all right, hear me out on this one. I don't know if this is the time to do it, but what if Val Venus wins and then you change the gimmick up completely and you become, you know, and then you go with the King shtick to get him away from the porn star stuff and that gets him elevated, you know?
Sure,
because I mean?
You could have gone back to almost like his Steel character when he was in Mexico.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like you could have gotten him away from that a little bit more naturally than what they did.
Him away from Val Venus was terrible.
Yeah, as a right to censor, but I was a fan of Chief Morley. Like by the time they did that, I thought that was good stuff. Like it was the right time.
For real? But then they
threw him in like. They threw him in like makeshift tag teams with like William Regal and Lance Storm.
Right,
it
right.
Weird at some point.
He was doing like basically he was doing like Constable Baron Corbin stuff during that time with Eric Bischoff. But like I liked it. The name was cool. I thought it was and he was a good talker. But I don't know if 99 would have worked. You could have done if Jeff Jarrett hadn't already had all that heat on him during this time. Maybe he could have been like the king of country type thing, right? I don't know.
I would have loved it. You bring back With My Baby Tonight, it would have been a fucking superstar.
Yeah, because he already had, right? Yeah, he would have been like the king of country music or some shit. I don't know. I thought that could have worked.
Kevin.
Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king of country, king of the ring. Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of Memphis, Tennessee.
Kevin, you made a face when I said the Attitude Era was garbage.
Yeah, because I think you're living in now and not realizing what it was then.
Look, in 1999 and 98 and 2000, it was awesome. I was all in. But when you go back and watch it now, it's bad, dude. It's bad. A lot of the stuff is bad.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna say that the TV isn't bad, but I'm gonna say like what you consider levels of talent in terms of like jobbers, mid-carders, upper mid-card. Like, I feel like that's lost on a lot of people now as to what it was then. Godfather was over. Like, Goldust was over. Val Venus was over. Like, they were all very, very good portions of the show that made the rest of it great. And like, I don't see like I have right now. So like, say like the Intercontinental Championship wasn't brought back to, you know, air quotes greatness, and you have like a Bo Dallas feuding for an Intercontinental Championship with, let's say Kalisto. All right, that would be bad modern day now, but I don't think back in 1998, 1999, 2000. I don't think that Godfather feuding for the Intercontinental title or being in the King of the Ring with Viscera, with Val Venus, with Crash Holly, it wasn't bad then because they were all characters that brought something to the table and people invested in them.
He got out of matches by giving people fucking hookers. It was so terrible.
That's kind of cool.
I agree. I'm on board with that. Why not? Once in a while as a goof? Like, yeah, come on.
As a goof.
Dude, that's such a, like, this idea that this guy comes out. First of all, he's 6'6", 300 pounds, and he comes out, and he's you know, he's fucking blasted out of his mind because he's always talking about rolling up a fatty. And he goes, so, you know, this guy is so stoned, and he's such a fucking pimp that he's literally, that he's like, why, let's not even fight. Here, take some of these girls with you. I can't be bothered to do this. I'm going to take a win and get the winner's share of the purse while you get some false sense of joy here. It's psychological stuff, man.
But they didn't build it like it was like the winner's purse. It was Jerry Lawler going, oh my God, the puppies! He's going to go with the puppies! The puppies! The puppies! Fucking have a heart attack already, Jerry Lawler, you kid-touching fuck.
Yeah, in 10 years he did, dude. So, all right, take it easy.
I don't have a Godfather Elite. I'm looking this up now.
The Godfather... the best thing ever was, I think, was like the Owen Hart tribute show, where it was Godfather scheduled to face the Road Dogg, and then they brought the girls out and they just left and didn't even have a match. Like, that's like,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, but here's the point you brought up though. Like, you look at guys from that period. Like, you look at the Godfather, you look at Val Venus, you look at D'Lo Brown, you look at the Road Dogg. All these people, like. None of these people to me stand out and scream champion. Now I know.
Can't beat Tito Santana.
Tito had two fucking classic reigns, bro. He beat Don Morocco and he beat fucking Greg the Hammer Valentine, who used to take an hour to warm up in his matches. But what I'm saying is there's a whole lot of shitty Intercontinental title runs during this time period. Probably because nobody deserved the title, so they just fucking hot potatoed everybody. For Christ's sakes, China is a fucking former IC champ. They gave the belt to fucking Jeff Jarrett like 17 times. Did they have nobody else to give it to? They just kept giving it back to Jeff Jarrett?
China one, though, I don't think that was just that was meant to be something significant, I thought.
Agreed.
It was. Problem is, it just turned out to be nothing because China just didn't want to wrestle the women. So now you have this woman who's big, but not nearly as big as half the guys she's going to be wrestling with. And they're putting championships on her, dude. Like, it's a weird situation. I don't think at that point in time they gave the Intercontinental Championship any justice whatsoever. But I offer this. I offer that the Shining Wizards are going to give the Intercontinental Championship its due, because starting this Wednesday, we've got the Wizards Intercontinental Championship Tournament.
Are you serious?
Four of the greatest Intercontinental Champions in existence will battle it out with you voting on Facebook and you voting on Twitter. Matt's got the breakdown tomorrow night. And Wednesday starts the voting. Make sure you get in on this. And you're going to be surprised at who we included and who we didn't fucking include. Right?
Well, yeah. I know you guys are seeding Albert's run high up there, so that's cool.
I'll let you in on a little secret, J. George. Albert didn't make the field.
Oh, no? Wow. Color me shocked.
Well.
No, we should have done. We should have cut like the last like 20 guys and made like a battle royal. For them, for someone to get into a spot. But listen, oh God, I lost my train of thought. Holy crap.
Did you lose the whole train of thought?
Oh my God. It was about the tournament. Oh, okay, yeah. This is unlike the tag team one that we did, where it was totally subjective. This one has a solid foundation of why we pick people where they are. And this is going to be the great, it's a hotly contested debate, always. This one will never end, this debate, right, guys? Like, this debate will never end.
Oh, no, this is going to end in a couple of weeks when we find out who the fucking greatest of all time was.
That's right.
I mean, I already could make who I think it is, but.
I want to hear it, J. George.
It has to be, see, now I'm going to be in hot seat, but I think it's.
See, you thought you knew.
I think you're going to have Chris Jericho high up there. He's going to make a semifinal finals, I think, easily.
Okay, fair enough. If you had to pick your final four, who would you see making the final four? You don't know the seeds yet. Nobody knows them yet. But if you had a final four guys, top four guys, who would it be?
And this is just based off of them being Intercontinental Champions. Let's make this very clear.
I don't know if he'll be in the final four, but he's definitely going to be a sleeper in this. I think it's going to be the Miz of this era, of this past decade or the past 15 years.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I could go for that.
He's high up there, but all right. So I mean, you can't have, just because Pat Patterson was the first, you know what I mean? Like, none of us really lived through his run, so I don't think he should be up high up there. I think you're going to have, like, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, maybe Jeff Jarrett, maybe a Don Morocco or a Macho Man.
I think you're forgetting a big one, buddy.
Who?
Donkey Man.
I guess so. But I mean, was he? Did he just happen to have the title long? I don't know. That's a tough one.
You don't earn the moniker of the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
Santino had a good Intercontinental title run in spite of the Honky Tonk Man's title run. Like, that's how good and important Honky Tonk Man title run was.
Later. Hey, George, I will tell you this. I popped really hard when the Milan Miracle happened.
Yeah.
It was in Italy. He was the hometown guy. They pulled him out of the crowd. It was perfect. The way he went over when he won, it was absolutely bananas. I love that. That as a moment in time was fucking great.
I agree. That's good stuff. And the way he like naturally became a heel out of that was even better.
Trivia question, guys. Do you remember after Santino won the title in Italy and he was announced being from Italy, where was he built from being from?
P-Town, baby!
Oh, Tony, you know this.
New Jersey, where I was born, son.
I should have kept you out of it, then.
Hell yeah. No.
I would not have gotten that. I completely forgot.
Patterson.
Yeah, Patterson, New Jersey. Santino Marella, even though he's from Canada.
Well, fair enough, but
all the better.
Built from Jersey. AJ Lee was from Union City. Who's Mandy? What's her name now? What the hell's her name?
Englewood. Englewood? Yeah.
Mandy Rose.
Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan is from Hackettstown, not too far away.
She's from like Englewood Cliffs or Englewood
Elmwood Park.
No, Elmwood Park. Elmwood Park. Yep. But now
Elmwood
she's
Elmwood Park. Yeah.
Oh no, Deanna's from Hackettstown. That's
yes.
Yeah.
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 Oh, we're the Jersey girl. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Guys, Shining Wizards Kevin is from West Orange, New Jersey, and that's how he's billed.
There you go.
Did you guys happen to catch the Dark Side of the Ring?
Oh, yeah. Fucking the slap heard around the world.
Yo, that was an open hand slap.
John Stossel came across like a fucking douchebag. No offense.
That was the universal thing on that, right?
I guess.
I think the universal thing that comes across, and I think as you see more people leave the WWE and write books and do podcasts, is that Vince McMahon is a businessman and he only cares about himself and his company. I thought it was really weird that he kind of didn't tell Dr. D to smack him, but he told Dr. D to give him shit. And then when it was all said and done and they turned around and tried to sue him, Vince McMahon tried to get him to sign a piece of paper that said, I had nothing to do with this and this was all you. And unfortunately for Dr. D, he said no and he stood his ground. And somebody who I think should have been in the main event of WrestleMania 1 became an afterthought in the world of professional wrestling.
What would his role have been in WrestleMania 1?
He would have teamed with Piper.
He would have been against Hogan, 100%.
You would have think it would
without,
have been
without Mr. T and without.
I could kind of see that, him and Piper, because I think they worked together.
Yeah, him and Piper were an amazing heel team together.
Oh, okay. So you're saying replace Orndorff?
Yeah. No. Get rid of Orndorff.
But you're including Mr. T.
Mr. T would have been fine, but I think I think the big draw for the WWF at the time, before the slap heard around the world, they were doing everything that was. Dr. D was working with Hogan. They were selling out all over the place. He was the essential heel in the WWF territory at the time. Him and Piper. And him not, you know, taking the blame for this and not saying it was his fault and that, you know, he got fucking blackballed out of wrestling, which is a real shame because he's like, he was the precursor to Stone Cold Steve Austin. If you go back and you watch Dr. D stuff,
oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. I don't think he got blackballed, though. I think that kind of got blown up.
Yeah.
I think the timing of it was just like he himself got himself out of wrestling and then started doing Bounty Hunter. That being said, he should have been fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter. That should have been his spot instead of fucking Dog, right? Because they were filming like that reality show for him early on of him being a bounty hunter.
But why wouldn't, like... He gets out of wrestling and he has this awful reputation. Like you would have thought, like the NWA and Crockett would have been like, this is the perfect foil for fucking Magnum TA.
Well, didn't they send him to Japan? And couldn't he have just worked there?
They sent him to Japan until Stossel turned around and sued the WWF and Vince McMahon. So right. When he came back from Japan, Vince was like, sign this piece of paper.
Yeah.
And in Japan, they had him do the gimmick where he was slapping reporters there, and Stossel saw that and he thought it was a shoot, so he like contacts like Dave Meltzer, was like, get me these guys, contact them if I want to get them in on the lawsuit. And he's like, it's not real.
Did you guys see the back and forth that like Dave Meltzer and CM Punk had on Twitter about the quote unquote blackball?
No,
I did not. What's
CM Punk said like he wasn't blackballed, or no, CM Punk said he was blackballed, and then Meltzer replied like saying no, he wasn't blackballed. He could have worked. He just went to Japan, and he could have worked anywhere after that. Like blackball doesn't mean you just get shunned from one company. It means you just don't get to work anywhere. But he worked places after that.
I agree. I that's why I don't think like it's hard to say he was blackballed, and like I can't see why like an NWA would have had an issue with what he did, like, and why they would want to side with Vince McMahon if, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
if this guy was like that heel that you said he was, like, fuck, NWA should have taken him at that point. Like, why didn't they, you know?
Because I don't think people wanted him associated with the promotion because of all the headlines that came along with him and the WWF and him smacking a reporter.
I could see some of that, but that has to die down eventually. I mean,
you would think.
Look at some of the people that still get allowed to do independent shows, you know?
Is there any difference between this situation and the one with Hulk Hogan and Richard Belzer that happened in close proximity to this, where he legitimately put Belzer out and dropped him on his head?
Dude, it's Hulk Hogan. Like, they said it in the documentary. Like, he was the fucking goose that laid the golden egg.
Yeah, I think it also cost them a lot more money than Stossel cost them.
Now, I heard a story, not a story, but a theory that, you know how it was back during that time and what kind of things a lot of people in the entertainment business were doing, and that people were saying that Belzer may have done some stuff to help elevate his heart rate to get to a point where he could pass out so easily, and that might have played a factor, which I could totally see.
He was, but I mean, if you watch the rest of the footage, like he's kind of coming across like he's hopped up on something to begin with. Now
that's what I'm saying. You know, I don't know.
Maybe he had a little bit too much coffee in the back there, J. George. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know these things. However, he did look like he was a little off the wall as that interview was going on. And that fucking old dude that they had interviewing, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's out there on YouTube. I think his show was called Hot Commodities or Hot Properties or some shit like that. I forget what the show was called. But you actually see, like, Belzer powdered after that, and some old dude would, like, wind up interviewing Hogan and T on the couch.
That's right, yep.
And straight up, like zombified, like, you know, I think you hurt him terribly, and, you know, and then, of course, Hogan and Mr. T have to defend it. Fucking Mr. T defending the wrestling business. How fucking surreal is that?
Dude, that's fucking cool. I mean, if you're Mr. T, you kind of have to, because, you know, you already have that heat coming in of, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, you know, if you don't, Piper's going to be waiting for you.
Yeah.
Or Dr. D.
And how crazy is that, like, to this day, like, people still can't wrap their heads around celebrities, like, making appearances and stuff. Like, it's still, like, a thing, like, people, like, act like this is, like, some, oh, how dare a celebrity take a spot at WrestleMania? But it's like, dude, that's how fucking WrestleMania started to begin with. You wouldn't have
numbers.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Let me
ask you guys this, though. I'm going to ask, yeah. I want to field this question to all three of you. In a real legit shoot, who do you think would win? And I'll start with my answer. Mr. T or Roddy Piper? I think Mr. T would take Piper. I'll start. Tony, what do you think?
I know, that's tough, man, because Piper was a boxer himself. Wasn't he an amateur when he was younger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I would. I don't know Mr. T's background that well, but I feel like Piper would take it, too.
I'm kind of torn on it. I know Mr. T's got a tough guy background as well, and I'm pretty sure he's a Golden Gloves winner.
But Piper's stupid like that, though. He's the kind of guy that's not going to give up.
Yeah, but
I
might have to agree with Kevin on that one.
I would go with Piper. You have to remember, breaking into the business back in that time, they beat the shit out of you. And once they let you in, they taught you, you know, and there were shooters and there were hookers, and they did not. They taught you the way. So, yeah, Mr. T might be able to throw hands, but if Piper gets him on the ground and he fucking makes him tap out legit, and Piper, to Jay George's point, is a fucking psychopath. Was a psychopath.
Didn't Freddie Blassie shit in his fucking, in his bagpipes or something? I think I remember that story.
What's with you wrestlers wanting to shit in everybody's stuff?
It's funny, dude. You know, it's going to be funny, like, you turn the corner, you see Randy Orton bare-ass shitting in some fucking purse? Come on, that's hilarious.
Dude. No.
Man, yeah, someone, dude.
Someone has to spend their time, the time that they don't have, a professional wrestler in the WWE who's on the road fucking 250 days a year, they got to fucking leave the arena, they got to drive 6 hours to the next place, they got to eat at fucking gross Denny's. Now this poor girl's got a clean fuck. Denny's is gross. Really? Denny's is fucking gross.
Come on, dude.
You've been to a Denny's in probably like New York. You ever been to a fucking Denny's in Missouri? I have. It's fucking awful.
Wait. When did you go to Missouri's and decide to go eat at Denny's?
We went to Missouri to see the Mets play the Cardinals on opening day, and we went to Sonic for 5 days in a row because we'd never been to a Sonic. So we decided we needed to go someplace else.
Sonic,
we chose a.
Isn't there a Sonic on Route 17?
This was
the fucking cop got killed out there because it would be crowds out the fucking wazoo. And then
this was pre Sonic in New Jersey, okay? And we went to a fucking Denny's, and it was, I ordered sliders. They legit took a fucking hamburger. They took a spatula.
You're the fucking guy that orders a steak at IHOP, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I would never order a steak at any place but a steakhouse. What's wrong with you?
You go to Denny's for the fucking breakfast. You get an omelet.
It wasn't breakfast time, you fucking dickweed.
You got breakfast all day.
I didn't want fucking breakfast.
My friend ordered fucking wings at IHOP. He had the shits for 2 days. I'm like, well, you fucking ordered the wings at IHOP. That's why you had the shits.
Yeah, why would you get wings from IHOP?
For real, dude.
I don't disagree with you. Oh, how hard is it to make a fucking hamburger?
Like, I'm going to Cracker Barrel. I'm getting the fucking Grand Slam breakfast, whatever they call it with the fucking
grits. It's not called a Grand Slam, you dickhead.
All that shit. I ain't getting fucking chicken. I ain't even getting chicken fingers at fucking Cracker Barrel, dude.
How do you fuck up chicken fingers?
Breakfast shit, dude. Always breakfast. You go to a breakfast place, you get breakfast. That's it.
Denny's is not just a breakfast place.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Fucking fine, dude.
Nope.
Oh,
anyway, this poor girl, now she's got to spend her fucking time cleaning shit out of her purse. It's in her fucking wallet. It's on her keys.
Well, maybe if she had a better attitude, nobody would shit in her purse. How do you like them, Apple?
Whoa. Yeah,
fair enough. I mean, that seems a bit extreme to me, but fair enough.
Well, whose purse did they shit in Sonny's bag and they shit in Kelly Kelly's bag? Whose bag did they shit in?
They shit in
Sable, right?
Well, Sable deserved it. Kelly Kelly, not so much.
They shit in Jerry Lawler's crown.
Well, fuck him, too.
Yeah, well, they knew he was fucking kids. Allegedly.
You can't.
Well, wasn't that because of the terrible paydays that they got in Memphis?
Yes. Oh,
yes, yes.
That's why they slashed Jim Ross's tires on his first fucking day at the job, too.
That's like, yeah, I think that goes back to the point about us wrestlers not being so well adjusted.
All right, so dark
you know
side of the ring.
Is that we haven't even talked to Jay George.
Yeah.
Who do you want to get back in the ring with when once this whole thing subsides?
Oh, man. I mean, we were talking about, like, Mance Warner, someone that's still on the list of guys I want to wrestle. I want to wrestle guys like, I'm vying for that Chris Dickinson match, you know? I think that would be a good match. And then, like, you have all these people that are going to be on the market now, and there's a lot of... I would love to wrestle a Zack Ryder, you know? So, and right before this, I've been training at Creator Pro, so... That's a good place that offers a lot of opportunities. So a lot of these guys might be coming
by.
Wait,
is that real?
What's that? Oh, yeah. That was – I'd started back in January, and then I did, like, their last show was, like, no audience show. It was supposed to be, in front of a crowd. And it was, like, the first of the shows to, like, oh, yeah, we can't do this with a crowd right now. Like, yeah, it was right as all this stuff started going down.
Kev, how are –
Let me ask you this real quick. I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, go ahead real fast before you ask. I just want to know how hard it is to hide your Creative Pro boner in your Zubaz.
Oh, he's asking Kevin. I was like, wait a minute.
I've had a couple beers, so that's easy.
touche, Kev, touche.
But Jay George, let me ask you this, though, because you've always been kind of like a controversial personality in our area, New York, New Jersey, isn't that? Do you have any legit heat with anybody to this day?
I don't. I mean, yes and no, because I don't know. I could be a little bit of a petty asshole, and I tend to hold a grudge sometimes, you know. But I don't know. I mean, the biggest one I did have heat with got is seemingly out of the business, so that's. That's kind of, I guess that's kind of done with. And, you know, I look back at stuff like that, and it was just, like, a matter of, like, letting myself, they get worked into a shoot, and then I work myself into a shoot. And, because it's, with wrestling, that drama gets so amplified, because part of us wanting to be wrestlers is to have amplified drama in our lives. People, if you notice, like, you know, you see it all the time with certain promoters, especially in this area, they love getting into these feuds with each other, these real life feuds with each other, so they can cut promos on each other, and they could cut shoot promos each other on Facebook and type them out. And that's like a lot of people to them, the business becomes real. And I have to be a little bit wary of stuff like that.
That wasn't the same guy that you ran out of the business that used to work, Brooklyn.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about that. I feel like in a way my involvement with that was kind of, I made a small sacrifice for the greater good of New York independent wrestling was Because I feel like after that incident, he was kind of like, fuck, this wrestling stuff's not worth it. I have to deal with fucking shitheads like that. And then he got out, you know? But I don't know, man. I can't take all the credit. I'm sure, there's a lot of factors. Maybe losing your ass on every show probably didn't help, you know?
I'm going to ask you a question. Does Darius Carter still have the belt? That's all I need to know.
Of course. And Darius Carter will tell you I'm the longest reigning champion of all time. I'm the... Of course he does, dude.
How legit asking as a shoot. How much do you think he wants for that belt? Or you think he would give it to the right person who has interest in it?
Of course, if the right enough dollar amount came his way, I think he would give it up.
I would love to have that tier one belt hanging on the Wall of Fame behind me. I would.
Oh, that's a relic too. I'd get in a bidding war for that one.
and J. George, do you think that most of like the heat or whatever the like the feuds that people see on the social media and this and that, what percentage would you say is like actually real? And are people smart enough not to like, this is weird, not to like piss each other off in terms of like, just, they just want to.
I think they want it. That's the problem. And that's like, it's either they want it or when it comes to them, they work themselves into, you know, whether it's real or not, most of the time it is real, unfortunately, but like I think people want that. They want to have that confrontation, and independent wrestling is not like television where we get to have all these feuds and stuff. Really. It's very rare. So when we have this outlet and we have this opportunity, that's part of that. You know what I mean? Like that, you know, even though like my issue with this guy was very real. And then I have issues with other people in the business, like, but it's stuff that I don't want to ever bring up or stuff that I ever want to be put out there. Cause it's a very personal thing. Cause it legitimately fucking makes me angry. And you know, and it's stuff like I try not to like let that come out because it's, again, it's not something I think should be exploited. Because once you do that, then in a way you make it into a work and it becomes like, oh, a fun pretend, you know?
So do you think more people are willing to take the risk of not getting along with somebody just to make it to sell tickets for a show or something like
but
that?
But this
like,
is will the they, thing. Who does it sell
tickets for? Will they sacrifice the working relationship just for – or the real relationship for the working relationship?
Yeah, yes and no, I think. But like – you know, the idea of like selling tickets for it is like, who are you selling tickets for? And then, and then guys try to do the other thing, which I think is dumb on Facebook, is try to be always in character and play this gimmick up on Facebook. But it's like, you're not, like most of your friends on Facebook are other wrestlers. And if they're not, chances are it's like a Mikey McNicholas who's at every, he's going to be at your show every single show. Maybe even depending on the show, he's helping set up, right? So you it's either wrestlers, people in the business, or people like Mikey who are your fans, but they're at every show. And they work these storylines on Facebook and they type out these promos. And it's like, who are you selling tickets for? You know what I mean? Like my partner, my girlfriend, she's also a manager. And she was doing a lot of stuff while we were, because we had been broken up for like about a year. And during that time, she started doing more of her own stuff. And like, she was doing this, like, being brought into this promotion in Pennsylvania. And they were doing this storyline where they were going to say all this degrading stuff about her and all this. And she's a hothead. Like, she'll get mad at shit. And she was getting mad at this stuff. And then I was like, all right, I'll come in and say some stuff. And then, like, they message her afterwards, after I fucking white knight her, and then they're like, oh, this is a real good storyline, right? And it's like, for who? Who's the storyline for? Who's going to buy a ticket for this? It's just, like, very lost, like, spend that energy actually flyering the show. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about now you create. How about you create some fucking sales in your tickets and promote in the fucking town instead of just... Instead of just sharing the fucking poster. Guys, share your stuff on Facebook constantly. I don't have fans on my Facebook. It's a Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, that's on. You have to build the fan base. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if you're good at your job, you don't need to create these real life situations to help sell what you're doing. If you're gonna tell a story, like, we don't have to be like, there doesn't have to be this real animosity where, you know, we have to fucking ruin this friendship that we built.
Well, because that's what ends up. Is independent wrestling a little different? Because there's only one show like a month or one show every couple months that maybe you have to maybe build it in other avenues, Matt?
When you get to the point, look, you can still tell a story. But now, like, if there's like real beef with us, and instead of me and you sitting down and hashing out and figure out, like, look, you did this and this is how I feel and it's fucked up. But now let's take it and let's fucking light the fire and make it more toxic just so we can sell what? Like J. George said, 15 extra tickets.
Yeah.
And now our friendship's ruined. We had a match. Did it feel great? Probably not. Did we tell a great story? No, because we're both real fucking heated now. But now you got to do business with someone. You want to fucking legit knock them the fuck out. For what? 15 extra tickets? Maybe you sold an extra T-shirt? I don't know. I think if you're good at your job, like, we've never paid for a guest on the podcast. Right? When we start paying for people to come on the podcast, then I feel like, what the fuck's the point then?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if that's true, because I remember when you guys did that live show, I saw Fala Bomb in the parking lot, and he pulled out a big wad of cash, and he said you guys hooked him up something nice.
He must have knocked over somebody's grandmother outside that brewing company.
Roll Tommy Fierro when he was walking by.
Yeah, Tommy Fierro dropped his cash, and Fala was just there.
Well, he just happened to walk by. Bah!
You sure it wasn't a handful of antipasta?
Oh, God.
He was crushing that fucking cheese.
God, I love Tommy Fierro.
Tommy loves to eat, man. There's nothing wrong with that. He's a grown Italian boy. Come on.
Yeah, that was a good spread you guys put out there. I was crushing those sandwiches just as much.
Well, we appreciate you coming out to support us.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I see you used the residuals from your RCA check for that little chain you're rocking there.
This is all I got out of my RCA deal.
What did you do with the fur coat?
I had to sell it. It was rough, man. I'm telling you, it was a bad time. And then when their Twitter account shows up as Tim Thatcher, I was like, oh no.
is that why Tim Thatcher follows me right now?
Yeah, that's probably why. Dude, there was another one that popped up that was like something international wrestling in New York. Did you guys see that one?
I did.
International wrestling in New York?
Yes. And one of the matches, it was definitely a rib, because one of the matches they advertised it was Rory Gulak versus Juan Francisco de Coronado in a hair versus hair match. Which they're both bald.
Wait, okay.
Who was the second guy?
Juan Francisco de Coronado from Chikara fame.
Weren't they both accused of doing inappropriate acts with students?
Yes, that was I guess part of the rib of putting them both in there.
Was there a fellow from Staten Island maybe who was the guest referee for that
He would have. He could have been a good ref, right? Why not? He's not been seen from.
And that's weird, man. I guess that's all you can do in a situation like that. Just fucking make yourself ghost and just.
Well, Tony, he actually resurfaced. He has the highest bid in on the Tier 1 championship belt right now.
Jesus.
That's hysterical.
that was good. I give you props for that one. I didn't know where you were going, but you fucking zinked me good.
There you go.
That's it. Take a chug of that celebratory beer right there.
So
we're gonna need a lot more of these.
Jay George, are we watching any of the current wrestling that's on the TV box right now? Are you watching AEW, WWE?
Can I tell you what I'm watching?
Sure, I'll do the show every week. Nobody, you know, wants to hear what Jay George has to say.
I'm watching tonight's guest. He fucking dances, he plays Wii, he sings karaoke, he reads poetry. This guy's a fucking Shakespeare in 2020. You're not up J. George and his social media stuff, man. Get on that shit. Because I love everything this guy's doing right here. That's what I'm watching.
Hey, man. Thank you. I appreciate that someone's watching, you know?
I caught your I caught your last spoof of the of Max Caster on the
Dark Side of the Ring.
Fucking
dude, it was genius. So good. It was hysterical.
And the cameo video, dude, the cameos fucking blow me away. Shit.
Yeah, those were great. Unfortunately, I had filmed them at a different time in our lives. And then when they came out, you know, it was bad timing. It was very bad timing. I just put up on Twitter, speaking of which, and the first thing I see is a mugshot featuring Conrad Channing Thompson of podcasting fame. I did not know he had I guess this is a DUI? Let's see. What is this?
God bless him.
It's a great mugshot picture too. Ooh, actually never mind. That's not as fun what he got to charge for.
I think that's one man gang. I think you're looking at.
No, this is our boy Conrad. Good man though, you know. Listen, people make mistakes in life, you know. I've been watching Raw, SmackDown, AEW. I keep up with I don't know if it's out of habit or enjoyment or what, but I watch the professional wrestling. It's my identity.
Exactly, and this is what I'll say. This I would rather watch. Like I'll watch as soon as we get done with this show. I'll tune in the Raw and I'll watch SmackDown. I'll watch AEW. I'll watch NXT because I would rather watch like terrible, like bad TV wrestling as opposed to like anything else. Maybe other than like hockey or football. So yeah. So I'll still watch. There's no way I'm never going to stop watching wrestling. How do you feel about that?
It's the same because it's, to me, and this is what got me into wrestling. This is what I've always been, that's always kept me with wrestling. It's a never-ending story. So, like, it never ends, right, in theory. So, like, you just keep – I'm a completist in a lot of ways, so I want to keep going and keep watching it, you know? Have you guys been watching outside of wrestling? Have you guys seen do you guys watch Better Call Saul at all?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Wow. 0-3.
0-3. Well, I guess you guys weren't into Breaking Bad then, no? All right. It's fine. It's a great show. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I watched all of Breaking Bad and I have no interest in Better Call Saul.
Oh no, dude. If you enjoyed Breaking Bad, it's great. It's great, man. I'm telling you. It seems slow at first, but it is a great show. That's all I have to say. That's it. You got Bob Odenkirk, Michael McKinney. Forget about it.
Great show? The Big Show show on Netflix. Have any of you guys seen that thing?
I'm debating. You know what I did watch was the main event movie. Did you guys see this? The main event music.
Yeah, it's got Keith Lee, Sheamus, The Miz.
Dude, Keith Lee's going to be the next guy in Hollywood, I'm telling you.
He might. Listen, I want him to be the next guy where he's at.
Yeah, he's going to. He's got a good future. AJ Styles just came back on Monday Night Raw. That's Matt. You into that?
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, I think it was. He was. He was.
I know. I saw rumored. It. I saw it.
No, I am not into that at all. Is he gonna end? Is he in the Money in the Bank now? Is that what happened?
No, that's filled, man. That's filled.
Is it?
No, it's not. Because Apollo Crews is out. Because they worked an angle where he got hurt. So there's gonna be a last chance to get in the Money in the Bank match tonight, Kevin. You're supposed to be the corporate fucking jerk off on this podcast. How do you not know this?
Hey, he put in his 2 weeks last week.
He's so full of shit. He's driving to Stanford every day.
Once they release my boys. I left.
You're such a hack. You didn't leave. You still got your fucking WWE badge. I know all about you, Kevin.
So Zack Ryder put out there that he's like, yeah, me and Hawkins are kind of going our separate ways unless it's like the Rock and Roll Express or the Headbangers. What's that match you want to see from Hawkins and Ryder as a tag team, especially knowing they're doing a limited run?
I'm sorry. Was that question directed at me?
Yes.
I guess so. It was for anybody.
I thought maybe Tony.
No, Kevin's going to. Here's what Kevin would want to see.
Question would be directed at.
Kevin would take all his action figures together to create two individuals, and then he would make those two giant action figure people wrestle Hawkins and Ryder. Obviously, they would do the job, not Hawkins and Ryder. Kevin's action figure
people. All right. I'll start with how I feel about them individually. And then I feel like them together is going to be better for Zach, just because Zach has been beaten up, his knees are bad. I can't. Oh. Like, I want to see Zach. Ah, this is weird. I think Brian could be single anywhere and be great. What? This is the question that was asked me by our guest, Tony. So stop what? That.
What? Concentrate.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to answer the question. How about that, you jerk?
You know what I want to see Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins wrestle?
Who?
Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews. I want this to be the fucking...
That's a natural, yeah. Oh, that's a given.
PWF, wow, that's Clash of the Titans.
That's a lock. That's going to happen.
Well, there you go.
Unless you know, Cody snags up, you know, Zack. I'll tell you where I want to see Kurt or Brian. I want to see him in either Ring of Honor or NWA.
Oh, that could be interesting. Definitely, it could spice up Ring of Honor a little bit.
I think he'll fit right in Ring of Honor because, like, people don't remember, like, Prince of Queens, once he got released from WWE the first time, Prince of Queens was everywhere, like, absolutely everywhere, and he was the workhorse of, you know, released guys, and people wanted to book him, and I feel like he would fit right in.
Yeah, and that's like a big thing of like how you dude, that's how Cody Rhodes got to that point he is now, where he played it so smart of how to be a WWE guy that got released. He didn't make himself a WWE guy that got released. He made himself an independent guy, and that's like the big difference. Because you see guys, they go one of two ways. They do it like Drew McIntyre or Cody, or they do it where they're the hokey, you know, not hokey, but you know. They're the WWE guy coming into town. They become Honky Tonk Man. They become, you know.
They hang on to a little bit too much to what they were.
Right, right. And that becomes, like, I think that becomes a detriment for a lot of guys.
And I don't want to say this is a bad way to Matt Cardona. I think he has the passion to want to recreate himself as Matt Cardona and be. It's weird. If he goes to AEW, which I think he probably will, I think he needs Brian with him to solidify, like we're a tag team, we're wrestlers, we're workers. I'm not Matt but I think he wants to do something different. I don't think he wants to be Zack Ryder anymore. I think he wants to be Matt Cardona.
He's going all in on the change. And I think because of the podcast, that helped him out a lot, where he was able to build Matt Cardona as a brand, and now he's able to use that. Because, you know, again, a lot of guys, Drew McIntyre was able to, he's just, all right, I'll just go back to being Drew Galloway. Luke Gallows, he's got his other 300 names that he, you know what I mean, that he could go back to.
Sex Ferguson!
That's right.
Yes. I think it will be tougher for Ryder, though, just because the character that he had there. And it was so outlandish, and it was so this and that. But I feel like now he's become more, in the last couple of years, he's become more of a complete, like, I'm not broski, I'm not woo-woo-woo.
Right.
I'm not Long Island IZ. Like, he wants to be treated more serious now. And I think Brian with him would lend more to that. And that's not slighting Zach at all, because I think he could still go, but... I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent on the broskies. Change the subject.
I think Ryder would be better off to reinvent himself. I don't think he needs Brian Myers with him. If you watched his, I guess he did an Instagram Q&A where his idea of Take Care, Spike Your Hair, the t-shirt, they thought that was a TNA t-shirt. Like Vince McMahon and the people there thought that was a TNA t-shirt, which shows you how out of touch the WWE is. What?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Kevin, it doesn't matter what it is. He works for you. He's under your banner, and you think his fucking t-shirt is a TNA t-shirt? Are you fucking serious?
Which is what they... That's what they changed it to. It got changed to Are You Serious, Bro? I was looking for it. I have the t-shirt because I had to check which one I have, and I have the Spike Your Hair one, so it's rare.
I think he's in a perfect position to reinvent himself and go out there, whether it's AEW or Ring of Honor or fucking New Japan or NWA or MLW. I think he's in a great position right now. The thing that I think is going to come out of this quarantine is all these guys have time. They have time to reinvent themselves. To J. George's point, there's going to be the guys that go out there like the Cody and the Drew McIntyre, where they are, we were these WWE superstars, but now this is our brand. This is my brand. I am Cody. I am Drew McIntyre. And then you'll get the Rybacks of the world who are just content with being the big guy who was on WWE TV, and now he has a fucking supplement thing, and he, you know, fucking sucks the tit off of that, and he's useless in the wrestling ring. What the fuck was that? What is that?
Was it The Undertaker?
What are you doing, Tony?
What am I doing with what? I don't know what the fuck that is.
You changed the whole screen. Is this you or J. George? This is J.
It's
George.
J. George.
All right.
It's got to be J. George. It ain't me.
But I think Zack Ryder can go at it and reinvent himself. And I hope he does. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
And I think that if anyone can, it is him, just because he's proven to be invaluable time and time again, even though he wasn't getting correct. What it?
So.
All right, now
what's going on?
All right, so this is the secret location match that J. George was talking about earlier. This is White versus Lycan. All right, this is
Tony. I have an iPhone 5. All right, be careful.
I'm not doing it, Kev. Jesus, it's J. George running the show, man. Relax.
Wait, how do I cancel it? I'll stop it.
No, you can do it. You can. It just, the problem is I'd have to cam it up somehow. I'd have to figure out how to get it to the people watching. I mean, we could watch it. I don't give a shit. I'll watch it.
It's fine. He's got the iPhone. He was breaking in and out. It's gonna disrupt his whole.
It might be the WCW gear.
Oh baby!
Oh great! Now we lost J. George. Oh there.
No, I'm back. I'm back. Is that screen still up or no?
No.
No.
You're good.
You're back. You're
all fine. Right.
You're good.
You're good. Let me take a minute to thank those that support us. As we get close to the end of the show, it is almost 9 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. Over on Patreon, if you enjoy this show, you enjoy what we're doing, if you have an extra dollar, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and you can support the show for $1 a month. If you can't afford the money, we completely understand. Just share, retweet, like, tell your friends. Share these episodes. It's free. It takes a click of a button. This is what I like. These guys are weird. They like wrestling. Whatever. Tell your friends. I don't care. But if you have a dollar, go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And we will mention you once a show. For $3 a month, you get a watch along. For $5, we plug your shit. For $10, you get a box of wizardry every couple months. For $20, you get a bigger box of wizardry. Bigger. Anthony Rusinello from D-Generation Y, he sent me a picture. He has an original box of wizardry CD of ECW music that I made for him like 8 years ago when I would just stuff them in boxes of wizardry and send them out. I guarantee you we've upped our game. There's no more homemade CDs. All right, we're going legit. DVDs, t-shirts, fucking purses of coins from Carrie Sane. That's right, I got on her fucking pirate ship and I stole them shit, son.
Kyrie.
Can I put my coin purse in one of the boxes?
You know what? If Tony can get the coin purse off his wife's dresser, he will put it in the box
because
that's where his balls are.
Tony, you put that WCW Tag Team Championship belt in there. I may shelve out some Lusky.
Yeah, for $2,000 a month, you can come try to take this from me,
Kevin. I'll tell you what we do. First show back, triple threat match. Tony has to defend that and the U.S. title. Right? Do you have a U.S. title? What's the other title?
European.
The European Hell title. No. You have to defend both of them against me and Kevin, like WrestleMania 17. And me and Kevin walk out champs, and you get nothing, bitch.
Can we do an elimination like ECW?
No.
A three-way dance.
Yeah, because I'll take me out first, and then I'll kill the other one.
I'm 2 minutes away. I'm closing in this bid for this Jim the Anvil Neidhart figure. It's at $28 with it's like $6 shipping, I think.
Which one?
It's the 97 Heart Foundation one. It comes with the vest and everything. And that's the one piece I need.
It's not the most recent Elite, is it?
It is. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And I have every single, as I just showed you guys, I have every single Heart figure except for Jim. So this
you don't have a Hasbro Jim?
I'm talking about just Mattel's.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. I do have Simpsons Jim, Bret Hart here.
Nice.
Oh. Beautiful.
Cool.
All right, well, let me thank these people on Patreon while you two come in each other's pants. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. Anthony and Danny Rusinello, part of D-Generation Y. Mr. Ryan Arthur from elementary.com. If you're looking for some local brew, we talked about it before. J. George was there for the 7-year anniversary show. Elementary.com, Mr. Ryan Arthur. Sean Toe.
Wait, 8-year.
Sean, yeah. Whatever, 8-year. That's fine. It's all the same. Nobody fucking listens to this nonsense. Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate Hensler from OnDeckIC.com, part of the D-Generation Y crew. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Mr. Matt Mellinger.
Definitely no relation.
Yeah, no relation. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni, who 2 weeks ago was celebrating a birthday, so if we didn't say it last week, happy birthday. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinks More on the Twitter machine. Jay Kopp, Big Kopp of Pump from our brethren, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Jay is our favorite. Phil and Choppy can go fuck their hands. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
There you go.
Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer the third. I don't know how you become a third, but that seems very fancy. And of course, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. Mean.
Are you guys excited that Moose has resurrected the TNA World Heavyweight Championship?
Yes! 1,000,000%! Can we end this debacle already with Tessa Blanchard? Thank you, Moose. The Moose Nation is alive and well. And that belt looks so damn good on him. Moose. Moose.
That's so nice. That's probably the best looking belt that TNA ever had.
Wait, Moose won the title? I'm lost.
He resurrected the TNA championship because Tess is under quarantine or can't get to the shows or whatnot. So it's like an active champion right now.
Listen,
so now
he defeated Homicide and Mike Elgin.
No, he did not defeat Oh, my God.
Oh, no, it was Hernandez. It wasn't Homicide. Sorry.
I believe that for independent wrestling.
Come on, Matt. Say it. Say it, Matt. Say it, Matt. He's laughing. Come on. He's shaking so much. He's laughing so hard.
Say it.
God, he quit. Where did you
go? Did he quit?
I don't know. I think he left Skype. Oh,
he's
what a
coming back.
There he is.
It was Hernandez.
AJ Styles will be in the Money in the Bank. He's doing it. He's going. He won the gauntlet.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Doesn't matter. He's not winning.
I'm not getting Jim Anvil Neidhart because I lost the bid by a dollar.
Oh, fuck.
That was my fault. It's all good. I'll find him.
Oh, you know? That's fucking awful.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just distracting J. George from his eBay bids.
I will say one thing, though, guys. Like, during this time, I've learned a lot about making people happy and satisfying people. And I'll tell you what, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's satisfy my wife in bed. I leave the room. It's tough, man. I don't get
it. I'll be right back.
I don't get any respect, man. I don't know. It's tough.
Good. We have J. George back every show. This was fucking awesome.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Did we lose Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin quit.
He said he's going to be right back.
Does he know that the show is ending?
He usually leaves at 9:04 anyway, because he's a party pooper.
All right, fair enough. Well, we wanted that. What?
If you're listening on the rant tonight, by the way, stay tuned because I know a whole bunch of the fucking mooks over at Turnbuckle Throwbacks and all the other shows. They're doing a May the 4th Be With You Star Wars special that airs right after this.
Oh, fucking
so if you want to continue the entertainment tonight, stick around on the rant. If you're on Hot Mic, just go on over to Rant DM Radio. Check it out there. And if not, fuck it. Listen to us on replay. We like you.
Why would you? Why?
Why what?
maybe you don't, fourth. Have,
listen, because you're a fucking you're a Star Wars heathen. You don't like the Star Wars trilogies.
It's not true.
You don't like any of the movies.
It's not true at all.
You don't like any of it.
No,
so,
I've seen them all.
You've seen them?
I've seen every single fucking one of them.
Do you like them?
Yeah, they're fine. I don't fucking obsess over them like a fucking jerk off.
Well, if you want to obsess with them over them, you can obsess with them at fucking Rant DM Radio
no,
right after the show.
Don't tell people that. That's we're barely getting listens on Rant DM Radio right now. You're really going to try and drive up fucking listens with
hey,
a Star Wars
what
thing?
What do you mean barely getting listens? You hush your mouth.
Well, I don't even know how we fucking gauge who listens on the rant.
We've been doing this on the rant for 3 years. I think if we were doing terribly, they would have fucking got rid of us by now, no?
Well, if you listen to the stuff that comes, if you listen to the stuff that comes on before us, this is a blessing. It's fucking Jim and Steve in their submarine, fucking doing a podcast.
In the town where I was born.
Well, I want to thank J. George, Mr. Thunderheart, JG on the Twitter machine, for joining us tonight and putting smiles on all of our faces, especially during this time of quarantine. And I'd say it was a huge success, J. George. You were our first guest in the Skype era of the Shining Wizards, and I hope you had a good time.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on, guys. And it's always a blast. Those 2 hours just went by. They just went right by. If only time could fly that fast in my marriage.
This guy with the
it's tough.
The marriage. Someone's listening. Look, someone's listening to us on the rant. Big Greg Energy is back at Goodnight Greg 35. He said, I'm listening to you at the rant. Do you have a chat on your own site or ? No, you got a chat on the rant. What's that?
Somebody call my mama. It's our going home music.
He's back.
Oh, Kevin's back.
Yes, sir. One last run.
Kevin, you got anything to say to people before we call this a night?
No, I'm good, man. Thanks, J. George, for joining us.
Thank you, man. I just got a text from my wife. She said to come over. Nobody's home. Last time she said that, I came over. Nobody was home.
J. George, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, did we go 2.5 hours without actually talking about anything current?
We did a little bit. We talked about AJ Styles. He will be at Money in the Bank. That's taking place May 10th on the WWE Network. And both matches are going to be happening at the same time. And I'm super excited to see what they do with this concept. We all know
fucking
the deal.
Whore.
You got to climb. It's just like life. It is just like real life. You got to climb the corporate ladder. And that's exactly what all these competitors are going to do. They're going to go out there. They're going to lay it all out there. They have a chance to win the Money in the Bank contract. And that's a big deal. We've seen that change careers. And someone's career could possibly get changed for the better.
I love it. Kevin's the corporate shill, yet J. George just sold the fucking pay-per-view better than Kevin ever would have.
I told you, I took my 2 weeks notice.
I will say I've been ragging on my wife a lot, and she's a good girl. You gotta accept what you have, because the last girl I went out with was pretty dumb. She tried to make French toast for me, and she got her tongue caught in the toaster.
Fuck her right in the pussy.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah! Oh right. Yeah! Suck on that, Hollis.
Where's the lick my balls? We're not playing that now.
But this isn't fucking the TLC the Total Request Lunch Hour. You're the king of the fucking soundboard, asshole. You fucking hit the button.
I need to get access to the soundboard.
Tony, you fucking suck at the soundboard. I don't hear you pressing buttons, dicko.
Our guest was plugging the pay-per-view this Sunday.
Fuck the pay-per-view. Who gives a shit about shitty WWE? It's
wow.
Fucking garbage, you fucking sheep.
I love it.
Well, you also have
he hasn't watched a show in 7 months, but it's still garbage.
You also have Double or Nothing coming up on pay-per-view as well. So if you're not if you want an alternative product, like you have it, you know, that's the cool thing. And that's going to be, I don't know what the card is for that yet, but it's going to be good.
sure it's going to be fantastic. J. George, brother, thank you again, once again, for making this show so fucking amazing.
Don't sit there, Kevin, in your fucking White Castle and tell me I don't watch the product. You don't fucking watch the product either. You went to bed the other night at 9 o'clock on Friday. You didn't watch SmackDown. Shut up!
Matt, you know there's something as, YouTube, right? You know that exists, right?
Oh, I do. But if you were such a corporate shill, you would watch it live if it was that important, right?
No, sometimes you get tired, man. Sometimes you get old and you fall asleep.
I'm older than you, and I'm up way later than you, tough guy.
I'm old. So
you got me beat for one night? You got me beat for one night, you jerk?
One night?
I went to sleep at 9 o'clock at one night a week.
The one night your show is on.
I just don't think that Dr. Death was going to have a big run during that time anyways.
He was
beat up, and I don't know if Austin was going to be taking these crazy German suplexes at that point of his career.
And Dr. Death needed a mouthpiece. 99.
What?
Dr. Death needed a mouthpiece. He couldn't fucking cut promos with Steve Austin in 1998-99.
Yeah, this is good. He would have been...
Or he needed a mouth.
A boo.
Hey, George, thanks for joining us.
Kevin, don't be upset. I just have to play anti your gimmick. What's that? What are you doing? Kevin's really upset.
He left. He's done.
I have to play anti WWE guy. He gets all upset.
No, I don't get upset that you hate. Well, I don't hate that you hate WWE. I hate that you hate WWE when you don't watch it.
Well, why would I watch something I don't like?
Well, then stop complaining about it then, because you haven't watched it.
I'm not complaining about it. It's trash. That's why I don't watch it. I won't waste my time.
You can't say that something is still trash and you haven't watched it in God knows how long.
All I have to do is read the spoilers to tell you it's garbage.
No, that's silly. That's silly talk.
Why is it silly talk? What excites you? What are they doing right now that's got you excited?
Listen, I'm not gonna say that it's not bad, but I'm gonna say like you have no right to comment on something when you don't watch it. That's all.
So we've gone 2 hours and 12 minutes, and we haven't talked any WWE. I'm gonna give you the floor. What are you enjoying right now? What is like the most captivating thing they're doing on Raw and SmackDown?
Just gotta think about it, eh?
It's all so.
Are you doing that on purpose?
Is this a shoot?
He has to be doing this on purpose.
Raw. Money.
You've been seeing guys like Andrade and.
I tip my cap to you, Kevin. Myself. My tap.
Austin. Austin. Theory.
Austin Theory.
What's up, you guys? Am I good? Am I back?
Yeah.
You are good, Kev. You are good.
Right.
Again, J. George, Thunderheart, JG on the Twitter machine. Thank you for joining us tonight on the first edition of the Shining
Wizards.
No problem, guys.
My wife just made a meal for us, so I'm gonna go cook. Listen, this is between us. She's a horrible cook. We have to pray after we eat. I'm kidding. In all seriousness, I think we have the only dog that begs for Pepto Bismol. All right, guys. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks again, J. George. Good night,
J. George.
Man.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Hey, good night, everybody watching on Hot Mic. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us on The Rant. And Matt, we'll see you Wednesday for the AEW coverage. And don't forget, tomorrow on YouTube or Wednesday on YouTube?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow on YouTube. You get the whole 64 participants in the Intercontinental Tournament.
The whole field. And remember, people, when you're voting, and I know this isn't going to affect your voting, but just keep in mind, it's not a fucking popularity contest.
Yes, it is. You vote with your heart. You vote
for the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Vote for everybody. I don't care. I don't know.
Vote for Ahmed Johnson. Vote for Ahmed Johnson.
Just get the votes out there. Let's get them out there.
Give me that 15.
Vote for Pat Patterson for J. George. J. George says vote for Pat Patterson.
What a terrible story that is.
I'm sticking with it.
What?
I think J. George left. He's frozen in time.
He's gone. He out.
All right, I'm out too. Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Stay out of trouble. ShiningWizards.com is the website. Support your local businesses. Support the Shining Wizards. I don't know. I'm rambling. I got to go make tacos now.
Great. Night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, guys. See you.